today at sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. After months of Democrat calls for it, now there are timelines.
I'm Cammie McCormick in Baghdad. U.S. Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad, who appeared at the press conference with General Casey, said the Iraqi government has 12 months to deal with some tough issues.
A program for dealing with the militias, with the oil law in place.
The Iraqi government is working on a plan to divide oil revenues, and with these objectives accomplished, the hope is the violence will subside, and that will allow Iraqi security forces to assume control.
Kenneth Katzman at the Congressional Research Service doesn't buy it.
Judging from the record of how the Iraqi security forces have performed to date, I don't think there's cause to be too optimistic about that.
It's quickly become a controversial campaign ad. Michael J. Fox, the actor, on behalf of Democratic challenger Claire McCaskill in Missouri versus Republican Senator Jim Talent.
In Missouri, you can elect Claire McCaskill.
It's controversial because unlike the very controlled Michael J. Fox you usually see, his head and body in the ad are really moving in that irregular Parkinson's rhythm. And critics have said he's exploiting his disease for stem cell politics. That race is among those in which independent pollster John Zogby says Democratic momentum has slowed.
States, for example, like Tennessee, where we had seen Harold Ford making some gains, Claire McCaskill in Missouri making some gains, those seem to have been stopped in their tracks.
House Speaker Dennis Hastert went into the Ethics Committee to answer questions about the Mark Foley email scandal today. And that's still about all that's known about it.
I thank the committee for prompt action, for moving forward on this committee, on this inquiry. They did so. I answered all the questions they asked in the best of my ability.
Flu vaccine. There will be plenty of it. And if you're worried about its safety for your small child, a new study says don't.
It's the largest study ever to look at the safety of the flu vaccine in young children. And it finds vaccinations in young kids 6 to 23 months old do not have severe side effects that would trigger trips to the doctor.
CBS's Barry Bagnato says 45,000 kids were studied. The federal government is allowing public schools to separate the sexes for classes if they think it'll help kids learn. In Hempstead, New York, Rachel Sabella went to a private single-sex high school. Says it works.
Females are not intimidated by being surrounded by males in their classroom. They're really taught to speak their mind, to discuss things, to question ideas, and really to be leaders in their own education.
The National Organization for Women claims same-sex classrooms always shortchange the girls. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 11 points today to close at nearly 12,128. The Nasdaq lost nearly 11 points. This is CBS News.
What tobacco issues are important to you?
The health effects. That's what concerns me.
Last night, Brian went to PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
There's a lot of information there, but for me it all came down to this. There is no safe cigarette.
Cigarette smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, and emphysema. If you'd like more information on the health effects of smoking, as well as links for smokers who've decided to quit, find out more. Visit PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
Since you guys have licensed insurance counselors, can you tell me how to break the news to my wife that I just bought a sports car?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed car insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical,
will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, you will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio, available most states and situations.
Jeffrey Lundgren said he was a prophet of God and more, that he could talk to God and vice versa. He's dead now, executed by the state of Ohio for murdering five members of a family he decided didn't have enough faith. Evidence was incontrovertible. With a chainsaw hiding the sounds, he shot the young family in a barn, youngest of whom was seven, twice each in the head, while others in his cult cleaned the dinner dishes. But Lundgren had help, and the help turned on him. 13 cult members were charged. His ex-wife and son are doing life. His defense as a prophet, he didn't deserve death. So who's bigger, Kurt Cobain, who killed himself, or Elvis, who died of prescription drugs? Don't sound much like Elvis, does it? For the first time, Kurt Cobain has taken the lead on Forbes' list of the top-earning dead celebrities. Elvis made $42 million last year, Cobain, $45 million. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Local and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after three. Welcome to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We will be joined by a distinguished author and journalist. He's English, Simon Winchester. He wrote the bestseller Krakatoa, a narrative tour de force. His new book is A Crack in the Edge of the World, America and the Great California Earthquake of 1906. He joins us live in studio in the 4 o'clock hour. So Simon Winchester with us in the 4 o'clock hour. Tomorrow, we are going to be joined by Jerry McNerney, who has a very good shot against Richard Pombo. And I have not spoken with Jerry McNerney, but his own internal polls have him slightly ahead. So statistically, it is a dead heat. And I think this is one of the races to watch. And, of course, the Charlie Brown race as well, which I have some more information to share with you about that. Thursday, Tess Gerritsen, blockbuster novelist, her new book, The Mephisto Club. She's here because of the Sacramento Bee Book Club. She's making an appearance, and she will be with us live in studio. And guess what? We have some books. We'll try to get her to sign them, and maybe we'll give some away to you. So that'll be kind of nice. And Friday, back by popular demand, we're going to be joined by Deborah Bowen. Deborah Bowen is running for Secretary of State against Bruce McPherson again. It's being reported that she leads in her, I don't know if it's her polling or the polling that they have, she leads by about 2 points, so statistically, again, a dead heat. And my question would be, if you're running for Secretary of State and Secretary of State is preserving his own position, can you be sure that you're getting an honest count when it comes to getting your votes counted when you're competing for the Secretary of State or when you are challenging the Secretary of State? Just a thought. My number, 349-1320. For a good time, call Enid. It's always toll-free. If you're outside the area code, 866-626-1320. We stream at 1320leftchannel.com, and you can email me, Enid@kctc.com. When we last left each other yesterday, we had some disconcerting news, and that is that the polls coming out for Charlie Brown, the only poll we have seen so far, is one from Brown's own campaign in which he leads by about 2 points, he trails Deep Doo-Doo-Doolittle by about 2 points. So statistically, again, it is a dead heat. However, there were two polls released yesterday, one of them News 10 poll, and in that poll, Charlie Brown trails by 10 points. In another poll, he trails by 8 points. And a lot of you called in and said, that can't be true. We're looking at all the signs out on people's lawns, and we don't think it feels right. And I hope you're right, but I think you've got to take those polls seriously. So I was semi-depressed when I was thinking about this yesterday, because I really thought that Charlie should be farther ahead than that. And lo and behold, I pick up today's Washington Post, and let me share with you the story. The Post's headline is, In California, Charlie Brown Could Have the Last Laugh. And the dateline for the story is today. Charlie Brown for Congress? At first it sounded like a joke. Charlie Brown was an unknown Democrat running in the California Republican heartland. The 8-term incumbent, John Doolittle, had crushed his 2004 opponent. Fewer than a third of district voters are registered Democrats. When Brown jumped in a year ago, the Peanuts references were irresistible. Good grief, Charlie Brown takes on Doolittle, proclaimed one political blog. There are two types of candidates, writes the Washington Post, who are recruited to run in key races and get lots of financial and organizational help. And the bootstrap cases who do it all, there are two types of candidates. The obvious one, who are recruited to run in key races and get lots of financial and organizational help. And then there are the bootstrap cases who do it all on their own. Usually, these second-tier candidates run and lose in obscurity. But sometimes they get lucky. If a wave breaks next month, Brown is one of many bootstrap Democrats who could be washed into Congress. The latest polls show that Brown, a retired Air Force lieutenant colonel, has pulled within striking distance of Doolittle, whose well-documented ties to disgraced lobbyist Jack Abramoff may be an albatross. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, the DCCC, is increasingly optimistic about Brown's chances and has chipped in an undisclosed amount of cash for the final push. Brown has scooped up local newspaper endorsements and has raised $750,000, much of it in recent weeks. So I am asking you, roll up your sleeves, unbutton your checkbook, give Charlie what you can, because he can use it in the final push. The one person who's not surprised by this turn of events is Charlie Brown himself, who ignored all the naysayers and trusted his gut that Doolittle could be beaten. The latest news to break his way. Doolittle's campaign reported more than $38,000 in legal fees. Actually, it's more than $50,000. In his third quarter fundraising report, $50,000 altogether, that are related to a federal investigation into Abramoff's lobbying activities. A Doolittle spokeswoman said the congressman was attempting to be helpful and had not been contacted by prosecutors. Listen to this. A Doolittle spokeswoman said that Deep Doo-Doo was attempting to be helpful. That's why he has spent more than $50,000 in attorney's fees and had not been contacted by prosecutors. But the disclosure put Doolittle on the defensive with weeks to go. It all comes down to someone who lives in the district and knows it, Brown said of his success. He's not surprised the National Party kept its distance all these months. We've had to show them in Washington that it was worth getting involved. When I got started, there was nothing here to support. The 4th District is made up of 48% Republicans and 30% Democrats, with the balance GOP-leaning independents. The geography, writes the Washington Post, also is daunting. The district contains 17,000 square miles from the Sacramento suburbs to the Oregon and Nevada state lines. But it is a more nuanced landscape than it seems, says Charlie Brown. Bay Area residents are moving east in search of cheaper housing, and although they are not heavily Democratic, many are registering as independents. The Sacramento area was one of the few pockets in the state to vote for a 2005 measure to end partisan redistricting. Doolittle called the initiative politically, quote, stupid. In June, Doolittle won the GOP primary with 67% of the vote, an indication that his base had diminished. Let me give you that again from the Washington Post. In the GOP primary, Doolittle won with 67% of the vote, an indication that his base had diminished. The California 4th is home to 102,000 veterans. Brown was raised in a military household and has a son serving in Iraq. He coordinated Air Force surveillance flights over Iraq during the 1990s and opposed the Iraq War from the outset. As conditions in Iraq worsen, he has found local veterans increasingly responsive to his call for setting a timetable for withdrawal. Running in a political no-man's land requires building a campaign operation from scratch. Brown lined up precinct captains. He courted local unions and other left-leaning organizations. He traveled to every populated cranny of the district, either alone or with his wife, Jan, who's a retired Air Force nurse. Like most candidates, Brown has entered a sort of parallel universe. Wired but road-weary, a regular at a taqueria next door to headquarters, his campaign has grown bigger and more frenetic, part small business and part family. One fixture is Joanne Neft, founder of Republicans for Charlie Brown, who canvasses in silver elephant earrings. Well, I hope she has clothes on, too. Another is Don Harper, who runs Veterans for Brown. Despite all the excitement, the party mantra remained unchanged. Show me the polls. Brown commissioned a survey last month that showed Doolittle ahead 41% to 39%, with 17% undecided. Shortly after, Brown was endorsed by the Sacramento Bee under the headline, Time for Doolittle to Go. On October 11th, the candidates met for a combative two-hour debate. Nothing like it has ever been seen in Placer County, the San Francisco Chronicle observed. Doolittle called Brown a flimflam man. He cited Brown's membership in the ACLU, which Doolittle accused of defending NAMBLA, the North American Man-Boy Love Association, which he said is, quote, helping pedophiles get away with their dastardly deeds. Brown lambasted Doolittle for his relationship with Abramoff and a San Diego businessman implicated in the bribery case that sent former Representative Duke Cunningham to prison. Brown noted that his opponent had accepted a $1,000 donation from Mark Foley, who resigned from Congress last month in a scandal involving male teenage congressional pages. Mr. Doolittle knows more about man's love than I do, with the support of Congressman Foley, Charlie Brown retorted. They say, says the Washington Post, timing is everything in politics. But part of that is knowing when an incumbent's time may be up. There's a whole lot of people who are going to win this year simply because they showed up, said Amy Walter, who tracks House races for the nonpartisan Cook Political Report. She went on to say people who are willing to take the biggest risks often get the biggest rewards. So here we have the possibility of Charlie Brown. Now, we saw those polls yesterday. One of them has Charlie trailing by 10 points, and the other one has him trailing Doolittle by 8 points. Charlie's own polls had him trailing Doolittle by only 2 points, a statistical dead heat with 17% undecided. So the headline of this Washington Post story is, Charlie Brown could have the last laugh. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And what I want to tell you is, I don't think that you can sit back and think that it's going to be really tight or think that it's going to go Charlie's way. It's still pretty much a horse race. That polling yesterday was really disturbing, and I think it should be a wake-up call. So if you haven't yet donated to Charlie, or if you haven't yet volunteered for Charlie, and you've been thinking about it, but you know, it looks like he's doing okay, doesn't need my help, I think he could use anybody's help who has it to give. So there it is, the Washington Post. I think the piece comes at a great time because I think some people were getting disheartened by those polls yesterday, and I hope that they turn out not to be useful polls. I want to go to the gubernatorial race for a moment. Here's how it works. This is the Los Angeles Times reporting on Schwartzy. Schwartzy announces the appointment of somebody named Stephen Matich, M-A-T-I-C-H, Matich, or Matich. Do you know how to pronounce it? President of the Matich Corporation Construction Company, to the Contractors State License Board. Total Matich donations to Schwartzy are almost $90,000. So here he is. Stephen Matich has donated about $90,000 to Schwartzy's campaign, and he is president of a construction company, and he has been appointed by Schwartzy to the Contractor State License Board. Now, I don't know if this is pay-for-play or not. That's on April 5. On August 18, Schwartzy's California Recovery Team receives a $40,000 contribution from the Matich Corporation. Total now of all Matich family donations tops $200,000. So Schwartzy's California Recovery Team receives a $40,000 contribution from the Matich Corporation. Now all of Matich contributions total $200,000. On September 12th, Secretary of State Bruce McPherson certifies a new law signed by Schwartzy designating the Martin A. Matich Highway in San Bernardino, named after Stephen Matich's father, the construction magnate. The legislation cites Matich's constant record of leadership on state transportation issues. On October 17th, Martin Matich, who is 79 and suffering from pneumonia, stands with Schwartzy at the dedication of the freeway named in his honor. The governor, pausing in the middle of his campaign to be on hand, says Matich turned his vision into reality. The state government website posts a so-called photo essay of the event, plus a press release and transcript. Today, Martin Matich co-hosts a fundraiser for Schwartzy at the DoubleTree in Ontario, Southern California. And November the 7th, California voters consider Prop 1B dedicating almost $20 billion in state bonds to freeway construction projects championed by Schwartzy. So here is this big construction company. So far, it has donated $200,000 to Schwartzy in one way or another. They named a stretch of highway after the father, the founder of the firm. And the son has been appointed to the Contractor State License Board. And then there is the possibility of $20 billion in state bonds for freeway construction projects. And guess which construction company might get involved in those projects? I don't know. Just speculating. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Your thoughts about the Washington Post and the Charlie Brown information, their speculation that Charlie Brown is really giving Doolittle a run for his money. This is really very welcome news after those polls yesterday that were rather disheartening. But Charlie's own polls had 17% undecided. So your thoughts about that and your thoughts about Schwartzy and more on Schwartzy as we continue. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Oh, it has been such a beautiful week. Last week, the weekend, and it's going to be just the same. Next Monday, I think we're going to be at 77 degrees, but really sunny tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday. We're at 81 here in the River City, and our traffic slowed down southbound 99 right there by Fruit Ridge Road. In fact, we do have southbound 99 is pretty slow. At Elk Grove, Florin Road, just north of Calvine Road, we have a two-car crash. Florin Road at 65th Street, there's a hit and run there as well. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Dialing for democracy. It's Enid Live on AM 1320,
Sacramento's Left Channel.
The Morning Retort.
Whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Talk to Enid now. 349-1320.
On the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. You can join the conversation at 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. We're talking about the possibilities for Charlie Brown, and after that poll yesterday, the two polls that are being released, it was refreshing to see that the Washington Post gives him a real shot against Deep Doolittle. But, you know, they haven't seen the polls, and I think that story was probably in the works. So we'll see what happens. And here's Schwartzy. If you contribute enough to Schwartzy, you get a highway named after yourself. You get to be appointed to the Contractor State License Board. And guess what? If you're a contractor, you get to stick your hand into what may be about $20 billion in state bonds for freeway construction projects if that all goes through in November. Isn't that amazing? Also, the bipartisan good feeling that followed the passage last month of a landmark California law to reduce global warming is starting to sour. And for this, Schwartzy got a lot of positive press. Harsh words came from Senate President Pro Tem, and this is Don Parada, who in a letter accused Schwartzy of subverting the law with an executive order to fast-track plans for a system that would allow industry to sell or trade pollution credits. You know, Schwartzy got this big push for this whole passage last month of the bill to reduce global warming, and he said he was going to do certain things, and he worked it out with the Democrats in the legislature, and then guess what? When it came time to sign it, he signed something else entirely. It was like what Dickey does with his signing orders. Yes, I'm passing that law, but I'm going to do a signing order, which exempts me from following it. So the things that Schwartzy said he was going to do, he has decided now not to do. The executive order, says Don Parada, is ill-timed and unnecessary and creates confusion at this early stage in the implementation of the law. Its substance and process undermine the bipartisan spirit and cooperation in which the law was passed and signed earlier this year. Let me tell you something. The Democrats are just as guilty as the Republicans here. The Democrats thought that they could get into bed and not support Phil and support Schwartzy, and everybody would come out smelling like a rose, and now they all stink to high heaven. Schwartzy looks like a traitor. The Democrats should have known better. And I think if enough stink is made of this as we come up to the election, maybe something will happen. But you know what? Probably nothing will happen. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, because everybody thinks now that Schwartzy is practically a Democrat, even though he just screwed over the Democrats that worked with him on this deal and gave him so much positive political juice on it. What are your thoughts about that? Dan, in Colfax. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, Enid. I just wanted to talk a little bit about Doolittle's voting record as far as troop and veterans care. I researched this thoroughly and spoke about it. Of the last 12 bills that dealt with veterans and troop care since 9/11, John Doolittle has only voted for veterans in one of them, and that was the very last one. I think it was so he could come back to his district for this election and say, yeah, look at me, I support veterans. The previous 11 bills, he voted against veterans. In fact, in the last 5 years since 9/11, he has the absolute lowest and worst record on veterans care there is of all congressmen.
Well, first of all, he couldn't wait to distance himself from the possibility of becoming a veteran himself when he had the opportunity. So talk about cut and run, he did. When he says he supports the troops, then in the light of this information, what does that mean exactly?
Well, when he says he supports the troops, it's all rhetoric. He supports the war, but he doesn't support those people who have to take those to take them on when Bush says bring them on. People that he supports the weapons manufacturers, but doesn't support the troops that have to use those weapons. I mean, he's a total hypocrite, a liar, and they've distorted his record just because on the very last bill of this session in May, he voted for his first pro-veteran issue in 5 years.
So what?
If anybody tells you anything different, they're lying to you.
So how is that stuff going to get out in time for people who might be leaning toward Doolittle, who maybe not the hardcore supporters, but who might be leaning toward Doolittle? How are we going to get that message out there so that they know what the real Doolittle is like, or is it just too late? I mean, people decide they're in love with whoever they're in love with, and you cannot talk them out of it.
Well, the Grass Valley Union just had an article touting his record on, and you got to write counter editorials about these things, and. The other issue, you know, as far as NAMBLA goes, who needs NAMBLA support when you got the right-wing Congress looking the other way?
Oh, Dan, you're so mean. I thank you.
Well, I try to be.
And you have succeeded. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I just got this email. All right, so we've got Schwartzy, who made a deal with the Democrats, and then he screwed them. He signed an executive statement. The Democrats thought they had a deal with Schwartzy. And then, Schwartzy gets all this immense positive press on how he worked with the Democrats on the global warming law, and everybody is looking so pleased, and the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And then when he does the signing order, what he does is he signs an executive order. He signs an order for something that they thought that they had decided against, that they couldn't agree on, and that they decided against and did some other version. But no, he resurrects what he wants to do. He signs an executive order to fast-track plans for a system that would allow industry to trade or sell pollution credits. The executive order is ill-timed and unnecessary, said Don Prada. Now, here's what I'm interested in. That he worked with the Democrats, and the Democrats were dumb enough to throw Phil under the bus and work with him. And everybody came out, they thought, smelling like a rose. And then, here's what Schwartzy was dumb enough to do, but it may not make any difference in his campaign. What he was dumb enough to do is expose himself for lying as to what he would agree to. And so, he reveals himself right before the election as somebody that whose word you cannot trust, who sold the Democrats out. 349-1320-866-626-1320. He doesn't even wait. He's so confident of winning, even though he's injecting some of his own money into it, that he doesn't even wait until the election is over before he backtracks on his word. He does it in advance. So Don Parada has asked Schwartzy to rescind the order, which would create an advisory committee to study pollution credit trading. But the governor said, hey, no, screw you. The executive order carries out both the spirit and intent of the legislation, said Schwartzy's spokeswoman. But the Democrats are steaming mad, adding to their own global warming problem. The global warming bill, AB 32, the nation's most ambitious effort to combat global climate change, has a goal of reducing emissions of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases by 25% by 2020. The law, which will be phased in over 8 years, beginning in 2012, gives government a number of tools for cutting carbon dioxide, including energy-efficient measures, alternative fuels, regulatory caps, and the creation of markets for pollution credit trading. But Parada and some environmentalists who backed this bill complain that Schwartzy is moving too quickly to push the legislation toward a market-based system of trading rights to pollute and away from traditional regulation. Now, what does that give you a heads-up about? If Schwartzy, on this issue of greenhouse on global warming and climate shifts, if Schwartzy is moving quickly toward legislation, toward a market-based system of trading rights to pollute and away from traditional regulation, just move that over to the energy arena in general. And you have got now a preview of coming attractions. This is what's going to happen when, and we were warned by Greg Palast and other people that the energy traders who have become even more sophisticated than their Enron counterparts are sitting around and they are hiding in the bushes and they are waiting until the election is over, and then you're going to see some major manipulation, and particularly once the we have some consumer protections in place. But once those protections fade away, and I think they're scheduled to do that in the next year, you're going to see huge rate shock. And this is a report, a draft of a report to Congress on on that very issue. So it's going to be hideous. If you think it's been bad, it's about to get worse. And you now have a guy who may very well be your governor for the next 4 years. Not going to be my governor, but he's going to be your governor for the next 4 years. And he is showing you what he's going to do. He moves toward a market-based system of trading rights to pollute and away from traditional regulation. And what that draft report from Congress to Congress indicates is that all the states, the 16 or so states that went to energy deregulation, it was supposed to have all these great implications for consumers. It was going to open up the market. The prices were going to go lower. None of that happened. There has been no benefit at all. If anything, in California, we have paid way more. So those of you who are in YOLO, you are in West Sac, and you have the opportunity to have SMUD rather than PG&E deliver your energy, you go for it. You go for SMUD. You will be nuts to go for PG&E because you are going to pay way more. And I don't care what PG&E tells you. They've got to be profitable. They've got shareholders to have to placate. SMUD doesn't have that same situation. And those municipal districts, they traditionally are way more cost effective for consumers. So here you have Schwartzy. He makes a deal with the Democrats. The Democrats think that they've got a deal with him. But when it comes to signing it, he does a little variation of Dickey's signing statement, and what he signs is not what the Democrats thought they had agreed to with him. He signs what he wants to do, and what he wants to do is he wants to fast-track and go to a market-based system of trading rights to pollute and away from traditional regulation, which gives you a preview of what you're going to see with him in two ways. Not only in energy, but it gives you a preview of when he's going to work with you until he gets what he wants, and then he's going to tell you that he's going a different road. And he has used the Democrats, and the Democrats, shame on them, allowed themselves to be used by Schwartzy. What are your thoughts about this? 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. Are you traditionally a Democratic voter, but in this one you're going to vote everything Democratic but the gubernatorial race or possibly insurance commissioner? I'd like to hear from you. And what are your thoughts about this? Don't you think that Schwartzy reveals himself? Now, there was really not much coverage of this. I didn't see it in the B today. But this is the Los Angeles Times reporting on Schwartzy reneging on his word, doing the equivalent, sort of the equivalent of a signing statement, exempting himself from a deal he made with the Democrats and from which he got tremendous publicity, national, local, a big jump in publicity and undoubtedly an accompanying jump in numbers. And now it turns out he's screwing him the minute he can do it, and he wants to go to what the Republicans always want to go to, which is a market-based system. And so you know what he's going to do now with energy in general. That's number one. And number two, the guy's a snake. He is going to be whatever it takes. He is going to be what you want him to be, whatever it takes to win the election. And then he'll go back to being what he thinks he is, if there's any there. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Man, I wish I had a motorcycle day because I would be riding it. Southbound Cap City Freeway, just north of American River Bridge, is a little slow, but really the weather's great. I have rare incidences going on our highways and freeways. The 160 is a little bit jammed, but that is about it. And we are 336. Very impressive. You know, I'm going to tell you about blinkers here in a little bit. Meanwhile, Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It is significant because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hey, Heidi.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Play
pay perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA Four Diamond Casino Resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
Do you? New rule number one, no more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
The color pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320 Love Channel.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
.340 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about Schwartzy screwing the Democrats. They had a deal. The whole was greater than the sum of the parts. And now Schwartzy signed something else that isn't the deal that they had. And what it tells you is that what he's going to do with rate re-regulation, I think he's going to go right toward market rates. He's giving you a preview with this of two things. First, that you can't trust him. And he isn't even elected yet to another 4 years. And secondly, if it ever comes to the issue of energy, he's going toward what makes more money for the corporations and not serving the citizens of California. That's what I think you see here. And I think you see a guy who has gone back on his word. So I think you see somebody who's really dishonest. And why is anybody surprised about this? He's an actor. You know, it's one role today. He's going to play the role of great conciliator, and we're going to work with the Democrats, and we're going to do something great here. And he gets all this fabulous national publicity and local publicity for that. And then when everybody's back is turned and he's getting closer to the election and he's in a comfortable lead, now he decides he's going to sign this order doing what he wanted to do in the first place and not what the Democrats thought they had a deal about, and screw the Democrats anyway. And he's going toward a market regulation system, which I'm telling you, a preview of coming attractions. This is what you're going to see if anything to do with energy comes before him. 6-20, 6-13-20. What are your thoughts about this? And are you a Democrat who's planning to vote for Schwartzy and then all the Democratic offices except for maybe insurance commissioners down ballot? Gary in Nevada City. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Gary.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Hello, Enid. I'm a Democrat. I will not vote for Schwarzenegger at all. I just want you to understand there may be some out there going to vote Democrat and then vote for Schwarzenegger, but not me.
I think there are a lot of people in the Bay Area. And you know what? I think the Bay Area is so sort of style conscious. God bless the Bay Area. We love the Bay Area. I lived in Marin County for about 1,000 years. But I got to tell you, I think that voting for this guy is really voting for a light version of Dickey, of George W. Dickey Bush.
He's a charlatan.
Yeah, he is a charlatan. He's you know, he plays the role of whatever he's scripted to say. You know what, Gary, you have broken up. I'm going to have to say goodbye. Thank you for the call. 349-1320. Another Gary in Carmichael. Hi, Gary. You're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Gary.
Hi, hon. How you doing today?
I'm very well. Thank you.
Hey, I called last week about, you know, Democrats wanting to vote Republican and such and such. And some girl called after me and made the statement about, well, if we had Doolittle running, I'd have to vote for him. Well, you know, bottom line is we wouldn't have anybody like Doolittle running. But the main thing is, I think this election, this coming November, is probably one of our biggest elections that we're ever going to go through in a long time. And it's plain and simple that the Republicans' main agenda is total control, total power. And we got to get that power back.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you, but I have to tell you, there is a lot of dissension on what's going to happen in the fall. If you read one report, it tells you that the Democrats and are going to sweep the Republicans out, but there are a couple of other reports today that say that's not the case, that the Republicans are going to hold both the Senate and the House. And God, I hope those reports are wrong. And Gary, we're
out too quick.
I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Emily in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Enid.
You've got to turn your radio down, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, I called you a couple of weeks ago and I mentioned something about Arnold being an actor. He's just the biggest liar. He changes to put on a face when it suits him, but he cares so little about the little people. He can afford to pay for all his air conditioning. He can afford to pay for all his warmth in the winter. I'm sure he doesn't even look at his bills. But what about all the little people that work and live from check to check?
I'm telling you, this is good. He has bigger aspirations in mind than governor of California, and looking to placate the big corporate entities who as Gore Vidal calls them, they're the bank, and they really bankroll these candidates to serve them and not the people they're supposed to be serving.
I think so too, and also I think he's going to keep lying. He's going to keep invoking the Kennedy name, which is so revered in Democratic circles. And I have a deep respect for all of them. I was raised as a Democrat. My parents were lifelong Democrats. And he's going to do that when it suits him.
I absolutely agree with you, Emily. And the thing is, he sort of revealed himself in advance of the election. But I wonder if there's going to be enough notice about it, and if enough people realize what he really is, or just a few of us who are listening to, to people like me.
Yes, well, I talk with everybody that I can, and I just say as much as I can about him. These Republicans who call themselves evangelicals are anything but. I am evangelical. I don't believe in murder. I don't believe in the death penalty, and I don't believe in kicking the little people to climb a little higher. They have more money than they can spend in 10 lifetimes, and they never get full.
Emily, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866-620-613-20. Patricia and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Patricia.
Hey, Enid. Enid, you know, the sad thing would be those, if they're Democrats, but even those working people who decide to vote for Arnold, my question to them is, I guess, do they want another experience of the Enron experience?
Exactly what you're going to get with Arnold. Nobody, you know, you're looking here at a kind of looking at market forces when the Democrats thought that they had a deal more toward regulation. And that's exactly, I think, a preview of coming attractions when it comes to energy issues. And they are going to get worse. New York Times, I refer you to the New York Times. Reporting about how we've had some artificial protections. Those are going to go away in about a year or so. And you are going to have big time rate shock.
Yeah, the problem is, I don't comprehend, is that we've seen through history the experience. For example, we looked at the mining industry. When that wasn't regulated, look what ended up happening. You had a bunch of dead employees because the corporation was too cheap to have protection measures for their own employees.
Well, there you go.
it's people never learn their lesson.
But that aside, the Democrats thought they had a deal with him, and he screwed them. The minute he could do it, safely do it, he screwed them. And I think that tells you what you need to know about him.
That's what's going to be coming.
He screwed everything throughout his life.
Absolutely.
Some of the things he screwed were ambulatory, and some of the things he screwed were political. But he's a guy who will, I think you can say that about him. I think he screws people over. I thank you for the call, Patricia. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. Kevin in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. You know, as an independent, I appreciate you explaining to us that side, but I think something that's missing is the naiveness and the Democrats who would give him that. And
what are you talking about? I'm not getting what your point is.
Well, Democrats that are naive enough to agree upon something that he then can do that to them. And I'm just wondering if we want...
Well, all right, so you're saying that they were dumb to agree to something with him, knowing that he could back out of it.
That's obviously what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying that he screwed them, and I won't disagree with you. I think they were dumb to let themselves be screwed by him.
So,
that they should have had some greater guarantees that they had the deal they thought they had.
But you want those people who make those kind of deals running the state of California?
I don't want a governor whose word you can't trust.
I'm fine with that, too.
You want a governor whose word you can't trust and who's going to go and who's going to go to market forces? So when you have rate re-regulation back on the table, if you ever get it back on the table, you know, Kevin, exactly where he's going to go. He's going to go to the corporation. And you, Kevin, you are going to get... You are going to get screwed by him. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
I swear my headphones are feeling like the traffic. I couldn't put them on. And I'm thinking, oh, you know what? This is how they break and they fall over. This is what's happening on our freeways right now. From 3:30 when I talked to you earlier until now, we have got 5 incidents, southbound 99, right by Fruit River, Fruit Ridge Road, Hellgrove Boulevard, Sheldon. Now, I just want to mention that a lot of times these accidents are happening because of blinker usage. And I wanted to say maybe do a Zen, you know, attitude on it. Be one with the blinker. Important to use the blinker when you go into the left-hand side. Please try to do so. 55 for the low, 81 for the high, and Enid Live will continue.
The metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Boxcar betting is...
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. Your own personal internet. That is you and me. You and me is that tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels. on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
On the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7, Mondays through Fridays. That would be weekdays. That would be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. In case you forgot to wear your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday underpants. Remember those? Well, I don't know if boys ever had those, but girls always used to have those. Let's head over to the phones. We're talking about Schwartzy. Schwartzy's always looking to screw somebody. When he was younger, there were no limits, and now he's screwing the Democrats. They all thought they had a deal, but he backed out of the deal, and he signed an executive statement. And now Don Parada is saying, you said you were going to marry me. You said we were going to go off into the sunset together. You said that you gave me your word that you were going to go for this thing, and now you didn't. Now you're going for market force. Oh, is that so? Well, that's what you're going to have with Schwartzy. He's so, you know, they made him up. They cleaned him up for the election. He's working with Democrats. He's pretending to be a Democrat. And now you've seen some of his true colors in case he has any true colors at all. Dave in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Dave.
Hi. You're saying let us know if you're a Democrat and you're voting against Schwarzenegger. I'm a Republican. I'm voting for Angelita's. I registered Democrat a few months ago, but I was Republican.
Wait a minute. You are the rare species. I really hadn't even thought that any of you existed. You are a Republican and you're voting for Angelita's?
Yeah, but...
Why? Tell me why, because I think you're the first guy, a Republican voting for Phil, that I have encountered.
I can't understand really why the Republicans like Arnold so much, because he is so liberal. But my story is a unique one, and I don't want to give you too much history about me. Of course, when I was young, I was liberal. But anyway, I'm one of these people who ran for governor in 2003. I didn't make it onto the ballot because I didn't have the $1,500, so I tried to become a write-in candidate, and I still had to collect signatures. But also I'm a heavy blogger, very enthusiastic about participation in the process and everything, and I was an Arnold supporter.
Well, what turned you, but wait, what turned you off of being an Arnold supporter to being a Phil supporter? What was it?
What made me a Phil supporter?
Yeah, what caused you to turn from supporting Arnold to supporting Phil?
Arnold prosecuted me for election fraud just a few months ago. The Secretary of State McPherson. And it's all Republican
Party. Wait. How did you get prosecuted for election fraud? What did you do? Did you vote early and often like they do in Chicago?
the collection signature process. It was a big fiasco. It was a shoestring kind of thing for me, a last minute decision. I collected a zillion signatures, paid a bunch of people who were looking for work to collect signatures. And then three years later, just before the new election, they decide to prosecute me, who happens to be a heavy blogger, who became obviously very critical of Arnold during his first 2 years when he couldn't do anything right. And, it's just clearly a political prosecution to shut me up. And quite frankly, it works. You know, it's a very, very, very scary process. And this is the first time I've spoken publicly about it.
So what?
They won't let me on other shows like Armstrong, you know, Armstrong and Getty, those Republican right wing.
Oh,
shows.
So now you got, now you're stuck with me.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm home again, baby. I'm an Irish Catholic from the East, just like the Kennedys, and I went through my state of rebellion and rejection.
All right. So you are now voting for Phil.
Absolutely, and I think he's a fantastic candidate, and I've been mystified for the past several months as to why the press is letting him down, when I read about the B, not, you know.
All right, I'm going to answer that question for you. And Dave, I thank you for calling. Here's why I think that Arnold has. First of all, Phil had he had a couple of bad things going for him. And I am getting emails from some of you saying only say good things about Phil. Don't say bad things about Phil. You should be supporting Phil. I am supporting Phil. I've supported Phil. All the way through. I think he would make a far better governor. You have got in Arnold, first of all, you have celebrity. You have, he's cuter than Phil. He's not more honest, he's not more confident, but he is cuter, and he's not that cute either, Arnold. You have got the power of the incumbency, which means he can raise more money. Phil can't. Here, right now, on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
You're listening to AM 1320, KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
The top general in Iraq says there is a way out, but it won't be easy.
Make no mistake about it. We are in a tough fight here.
Reassurance for parents about the flu vaccine.
It is safe for young children.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It's not exactly light at the end of the tunnel, but 2 weeks before the election, the U.S. military commander in Iraq claimed the Iraqi army and police are on their way to getting a grip on the country.
We are about 75% of the way through a three-step process in building those forces. And it's going to take another 12 to 18 months or so till I believe the Iraqi security forces are completely capable.
In the meantime, General George Casey said he might need more troops.
I'm Cammy McCormick in Baghdad. U.S. Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad, who appeared at the press conference with General Casey, said the Iraqi government has 12 months to deal with some tough issues.
A program for dealing with the militias, with the oil law in place.
The Iraqi government is working on a plan to divide oil revenues, and with these objectives accomplished, the hope is the violence will subside, and that will allow Iraqi security forces to assume control.
Ambassador Khalilzad says Iraqi leaders have agreed to a timeline, and disarming militias is at the top of the to-do list. Now this.
It's here at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. The Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event with special offers on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. Buy four Michelin or BF Goodrich tires and get the Works Fuel Saver Package on us. That's a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil change, tire rotation, and more. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Hurry, it all ends soon. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealer for details through 11:30:06.
Deep inside the fax machine at your office, there's a business opportunity. See this toner cartridge? With the new Discover business card, you get cash back bonus on business purchases, even more on office supplies. So this baby not only makes faxes, it makes cash for your business.
Yow! And it's also very hot.
It's time to take control with the new Discover business card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
Little kids hate getting their shots, but timely new research finds the needle is the worst part of being vaccinated against influenza.
2 years after the government first recommended that very young kids get the flu vaccine, a reassuring finding. It's extremely safe for them. In a large study in the Journal of the American Medical Association, researchers looked at whether 45,000 children 6 to 23 months old had any medical visits after being vaccinated.
We found very few reasons for increased visits.
In fact, Denver pediatrician Simon Hambidge says for some illnesses, trips to the doctor decreased.
These included things like asthma and the common cold and cough.
Bottom line, the benefits of vaccinating young kids against the flu far outweigh the risks. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Quite a commotion in the halls of Congress as House Speaker Dennis Hastert went behind closed doors to answer questions about the Foley scandal. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
For 2.5 hours, Hastert sat with the Ethics Committee trying to clarify when Republican leaders found out about Mark Foley's interest in House pages.
He said that they needed to move quickly to get to the bottom of this issue, including who knew about the sexually explicit messages and when they knew about it.
At least two top Republicans have said they warned Hastert.
I answered all the questions they asked in the best of my ability.
With elections 2 weeks away, he's hoping the scandal doesn't help topple Republicans from power. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
CBS News has learned of another security breach at Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico. Sources tell correspondent Cheryl Atkinson it was discovered recently when local police made a drug raid.
Inside the home, along with drug paraphernalia, we're told that police have found classified materials that had apparently been stolen from the grounds of Los Alamos Laboratory. The question, of course, how somebody involved in illegal drugs would have access to classified materials from the nation's nuclear weapons facility, that's unknown, but that's what people are trying to find out.
The FBI has been called in to investigate. The home is believed to belong to a lab contractor which does maintenance at the lab. FBI Director Robert Mueller is not Ed McMahon. So if you get an email from Mueller saying you're eligible for a large sum of money if you provide some information, don't fall for it. The FBI says it's a scam, and don't be scared by the follow-up message that warns you could face criminal charges if you fail to comply. Officials say that's bogus, too. This is the second recent email hoax using Mueller's name in an attempt to separate people from their money. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, I...
Five minutes after 4 o'clock. Welcome to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel. And I want to just let you know what we have upcoming this week. Tomorrow we are going to be joined by Jerry McNerney, who has a real shot against Richard Pombo in the congressional race, and that would be a huge story if he unseated him. But according to his own internal polls, he is, I think, leading by a couple of points. So statistically, it is a dead heat. On Thursday, we're joined by Tess Gerritsen, who in her other life is a physician. She's an MD, but she writes these blockbuster thrillers. She will be with us live in studio. The new book is called The Mephisto Club. And it has to do with the heart of evil. But there's so many books out about the heart of evil, we hardly know where to start. There's so much evil around. And on Friday, we are joined by Deborah Bowen. And Deborah is running for Secretary of State against McPherson. And it shows about a 2-point lead
in her own polling, I think, so it's too close to call. But joining us now is Simon Winchester, a distinguished author and journalist. His new book, A Crack in the Edge of the World, America and the Great California Earthquake of 1906, it's now out in paperback. Simon Winchester, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, it's a great pleasure. I'm delighted to be here.
We're delighted you're here,
You're diluted to see me. Yes.
Yes, I am. We're very diluted to see you indeed. And he is with us in studio. Why are you in Sacramento today?
I'm not entirely sure. I was told by my publicist to come here, and I got on a plane, and here I am.
Really?
And actually,
it wasn't just to come here to see us, was it?
Actually, it was, yes.
Was it really?
No, I did something at a bookstore on the California State University, Sacramento.
Okay, so that's
a bookstore called The Hornet, and I'm doing something tonight at Barnes & Noble.
At Barnes & Noble, oh.
One of the nine. I gather there are nine Barnes & Nobles in this town.
Are there nine of them?
So they say.
We try to support independent bookstores, but I don't think we have any left anymore. Talk to me about this book, A Crack in the Edge of the World. You have written other books, Krakatoa. I remember you did a book on the origins of the OED.
Yes.
The Oxford English Dictionary.
That was about an extraordinary man who was a lunatic murderer who was a major contributor to the OED.
A lunatic murderer? Is that... That's not an oxymoron, is it?
No, I think it's most murderers or many murderers are lunatics.
And thank goodness for that.
Thank goodness. Anyway, he was an American, and that's not an oxymoron either. And he contributed hugely, and most importantly, to the OED. So I did a book on him, and that was called The Professor and the Madman, and that came out in 1998.
And you did a book called Krakatoa?
Yes, I did a number of books on geology, which I used to be one in a former life, and a geologist, that is. And I did a book about the first ever geological map ever made in the world in 1815 by a man called William Smith. Then I did a book on Krakatoa, and then 3 years ago, I researched a book on the 1906 earthquake in San Francisco, and that came out in hardback exactly a year ago and came out in paperback last week.
The anniversary was just recently.
Yes, the 18th of April, my parents' wedding anniversary.
Is it really?
Yes.
Why did you decide to do a book on the earthquake of 1906? And pardon me for being so crass, with commercial considerations that there was an anniversary coming up?
Yes. Completely. That's why I'm doing a book on China now, which is going to come out in the Olympic year when Peking stages the Olympics in 2008. So I try not to miss an opportunity like that. I mean, it would be foolish to do so if you're a writer.
Of course. All right. So talk to me about A Crack in the Edge of the World, and talk to me about the Great California Earthquake of 1906. So you decide, because an anniversary is coming up, and because it's not, the writer's life is not an easy life, you decide you're going to write a book about it, and you bring to this the fact that you were in a former life a geologist. And so, how do you begin your exploration about the 1906 earthquake, and what do you find out about it that we would be surprised to know?
I think the most important thing about the earthquake, and with this kind of book, I'm not particularly interested in the disaster aspect of it. I mean, it's terribly easy just to collect a whole bunch of eyewitness accounts of mayhem and death and destruction. And that's been done 1,000 times before. In fact, it's been done 2,000 times before. There are at least 2,000 books on the San Francisco earthquake. But the point of an anniversary or a centenary like this is it allows you to stand back and say, well, why was this important? Because, I mean, in the great scheme of things, it's not a particularly big earthquake. I mean, if you compare it to the events that we've seen in the last couple of years. We had a huge earthquake in Kashmir 18 months ago, which killed 75,000. This killed 1,000. We had an earthquake, we had the tsunami off Sumatra, which killed 275,000 people. I mean, that's a gigantic disaster. San Francisco was relatively modest, but...
How many in San Francisco?
Well, it's never been entirely known. The official figure was about 430 dead. But there's an extraordinary woman called Gladys Hansen, the sort of the angel of death, who has been...
She's from the San Francisco Library.
Right, yeah. And she's been putting together what she believes is a definitive list of all those who really died but whose deaths were miscounted or lost or whatever. And that, she thinks, is about 6,000. But even 6,000 is a small earthquake compared to the enormous ones that Tianjin in China, for instance, in the year that Mao Zedong died, that was 225,000 in one city alone killed. So, but the question that I suppose I wanted to try and answer was, why was this important? And it was important, I think, for one principal reason, and that's that it marked a turning point, or as Malcolm Gladwell would say, a tipping point, between the time when mankind, or humankind, I guess we should call it now, thought that natural catastrophes were the work of a capricious and angry God, and at the time when we started to look at these events rationally. I mean, if you can look at 1755, for instance, Lisbon, when the jewel of the Iberian Peninsula, the most beautiful city, was demolished in an enormous earthquake in, I think it was March 1755, everyone, with the single exception of Voltaire, who in Candide writes about a rational explanation, everyone believed that this was the work of an angry God. And what they did was what they always do. You round up all the heretics and you burn them as to placate God. And it has to be said that there hasn't been an earthquake in Lisbon since. So
they got all of them.
I'm entirely in favor of burning heretics. So. But much the same thing happened after Krakatoa. Different God, Allah, was involved then because the local religion was Islam. And they said this was clearly the work of an angry Allah, so you've got to placate him by killing lots of Dutchmen, because the Dutchmen ran the place at the time. And the rebellion that broke out under the, you know, the banner of Krakatoa led to the expulsion of the Dutch from the East Indies and the creation of what is now the most populous Islamic state on earth, Indonesia. San Francisco, there was, in 1906, a major religious reaction. In fact, something called the Azusa Street Revival was a direct consequence of the religious reaction, people thinking this was a manifestation of God's anger. And indeed, it led to the birth of the Pentecostalist Church. So one can blame the San Francisco earthquake for giving us people like Jimmy Swaggart and Tammy Faye Baker and Pat Robertson. And
really? I didn't know that there was a direct...
Well, there was, and one can indeed, if one's mischievous, say that we can blame, if blame is the word you use, the Bush administration on the San Francisco earthquake. But passing quickly over that, because I'd like you to keep your FCC license.
I knew it had. There had to be some cataclysmic reason that we have this man in office.
But yes, exactly. But, and this is an important but, in San Francisco, for the first time, there was a rational reaction. And people said, this isn't actually the work of God, that is so much
nonsense.
Did
they know that? Was there enough science for them to know that?
Yeah, that's the point. Governor Pardee, who was this rather dull dentist, who was the governor of California at the time, decided that he would set up, this was clearly the work of nature, and he set up a scientific commission for the first time. The official reaction was, let's not unleash priests on the problem, let's unleash scientists. So scientists got to work on studying it. They discovered the San Andreas Fault, which we all know about now, but we didn't know about
before. And everybody stands on the edge of it and says, it's not my fault.
Indeed, yes, those of a punning mind.
Yes.
And since then, you know, the study of the faults around the world, like the San Andreas, has led seamlessly to the creation of the theory of plate tectonics in 1965, and we now know exactly why earthquakes happen and why they're in certain places of the world and not in certain other places. So San Francisco was a turning point. Religion was at last cast into the perspective it should be cast into, which is a total irrelevance, and science and rationalism was in the foreground. Earthquakes are the result of natural processes which can be explained.
My guest is Simon Winchester. His new book now out in paperback, A Crack in the Edge of the World, America and the Great California Earthquake of 1906. Now, when you set out to write a book like this, what do you begin to do in order how do you begin to attack this book? Did you attack it from San Francisco? Did you come immediately here? Where do you typically live?
Well, I typically live in New York, and I've got a farm in Massachusetts, and on the particular day in question when this process began, shortly, I think, after signing the contract to do it, I said to my partner, I remember vividly the moment I was sitting in my study saying, you know, I think I'm going to have to go out to San Francisco fairly soon, take a flat and have a protracted stay. And it cannot have been more than 5 minutes later that the phone rang, and a chap said, on the other end, he said, you don't know me, my name's Scott something or other, and I work for a university that you've probably never heard of called San Jose State, and we've been considering this, and we wonder whether you might be able to come over here for the winter semester in 2004 from January to May. We'll obviously pay, and you just give a couple of classes a week, and we'll provide you with a flat in San Francisco. So I'm not a religious man, as you probably could have gathered, but for a brief shining moment, I thought, God is in his heaven, and he's looking after me.
So you come to San Jose State, and you have a flat in San Francisco.
Yes.
Which part of San Francisco?
1835 Franklin. Oddly enough, directly above, I was in flat 1601, and in 1501, beneath me, was someone you'll know well, Kevin Starr.
Oh, yes.
So if I got into a problem, I would hammer with my boots on the floor, and he would come up thinking he was being invited for a drink, but I would say, well, have a drink, Kevin, but at the same time, explain such and such to me.
Well, and for our listeners, Kevin Starr was the California State Librarian, and a tremendous historian of the state of California. And since you have written about the OED, I mean, I just see a natural...
It was. We became enormous friends.
Affinity.
And, yeah, it worked tremendously well. So that was a serendipitous discovery. And so what I did was I drove out from Massachusetts to San Francisco, basically through all the geologically interesting places that were relevant to the book. So I drove from Massachusetts down to Charleston, where there was a big earthquake in 1887, then to New Madrid, Missouri, where there was the biggest earthquake ever in the continental United States.
What was it on the Richter scale? Because 1906 was what, 8.25?
It's a little difficult. Some people 7.9, some people 8.25, 8.3, generally a little over 8.
What is the highest recorded?
The highest in the world was in Chile in 1960, and that was 9.4. There was a 9.2 in the Sumatran tsunami of 2 years ago, and then Alaska, Good Friday 1964, which was a 9.0. That is really big, because as you know, the scale is sort of logarithmic, so 9 is much greater than
Well, it's what, exponential?
Yes.
Is that the way to describe it?
Sort of. Logarithmic is a slightly more accurate way of putting it. It doesn't go up quite as fast as exponentially, but fast.
I lived for a long time in the Bay Area, and I was living in a houseboat in Sausalito when we had Loma Prieta, and I'm telling you, the boat, you know, rattled around, and you thought you were on the high seas. You really weren't, but it was really quite something, and we really sustained almost no damage. I sustained almost no damage, yeah, but there were lots of people who sustained quite a lot of damage, and there were lives lost in Loma Prieta. So now you're in San Francisco. Now you're doing the research. And then what happens?
Well, then, so I finished in May, and, you know, so packed all the books up and sent them back to the books I had bought at Acorn Books, which I'm sorry to see has now gone out of business, despite my supporting it so keenly during those 4 months. And then I sent all the papers back, and I wanted to go up to Alaska, so I drove my car to Anchorage.
Why Alaska? What did Alaska have to do with San Francisco quake?
The Denali Fault is similar to, in many ways, the San Andreas Fault, and indeed the geology of the whole Western Cordillera, which stretches from the Aleutian Islands right down to Cape Horn in South America, and of which, of course, the Coast Range around San Francisco is a small part, is all geologically connected. In other words, it's the eastern edge of the Pacific tectonic plate. So it was important and interesting to go up to Alaska. I had all sorts of adventures up there, including the most sort of mundane in a way, but the one that surprised me most of all was on the Alaska Highway in the Yukon, where there is no traffic, nothing. It's just a gravel road. And I'm tootling along in my Land Rover. Suddenly, it's like the New Jersey Turnpike. A police car with lights and sirens pulls me over, and this Canadian, who turns out to be a Mountie, he says, you were speeding. I said, there's nothing to hit. He said, have you hit a moose? Whatever I was doing, 90 miles an hour. I said, but there isn't even a moose. So he pulled me over, gave me a ticket. He was terribly nice about it. And the ticket was $46 Canadian, which is about the price of a tube of toothpaste. And he said, when you get to Whitehorse, which is the capital of the Yukon, ring this 800 number and pay it with your Visa card, and it won't appear on your insurance or anything like that. So I did, and I spoke to an old lady. I dialed this 800 number, and there was this clearly, evidently, old woman doing her knitting, and I said, she said, have you been a naughty boy? And I said, well, I suppose you could say that. And so she took my card and took my $46, and then she said, just out of interest, she said, who gave you the ticket? And so I read the ticket, and it said, Sergeant R. Smith. And she said, Rolly Smith, isn't he a sweetheart? I said, that's not exactly the word I had in mind.
My guest is Simon Winchester. His new book, A Crack in the Edge of the World. Are we going to have an earthquake in Sacramento, since you're a geologist and since nobody can predict them anyway?
Well, no, I think it's the short answer.
Is no? Is that the short answer?
Yes, not a bad one. I mean, the bad ones will be on the Hayward Fault in Oakland. And
well, here's the thing. When you live in the Bay Area, you can start to start to develop your own sense of what it is on the Richter scale. And you're often quite right. You can tell if it's about a 3 or
really?
A 4. Oh, yeah. After a while, because they're always shakers and they're always temblers, which if you're new in town, you say tremblers.
Right.
But they're really temblers. And you get a sense of, oh, it's only a 3, a 4. And my debut on talk radio, which was in the Bay Area on KGO, I was going to talk about etiquette. Because I collect old etiquette books. Mm-hmm. And usually it can be very amusing because things have changed dramatically in just a short time. And I get on the air, and suddenly the board lights up, and it's my first night doing this. And I'm thinking, my God, everybody wants to talk about etiquette. But we have just had an earthquake 10 minutes to air. And I don't know quite where it was centered. And that's everybody wanted to talk about the earthquake. They wanted to talk about what they were doing when that earthquake hit. And some of them were doing quite naughty things. And,
really?
And, yes. But they wanted to share that information on the air.
So what is the etiquette if you're blown out of bed in the middle of the business?
Well, some of... Well, we didn't get that far.
Oh, right.
We do have an FCC here. So, in any event, all talk of etiquette, flew out the window. I had a producer. It was just the two of us holding down this, really, 50,000 watt. You can hear it from Canada to Mexico to Central America, and if the skip's just right, to Scandinavia. So, at night, it's an enormous signal. And I just guessed where the earthquake was centered because I wasn't getting any help. And I happened to guess right. Mm. And then we were off and running on the earthquake. But that is how an earthquake had some effect on my what laughingly refers to itself as my career. My guest is Simon Winchester. He's written a new book, A Crack in the Edge of the World, America and the Great California Earthquake of 1906. It is now out in paperback. I am Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Well, we got a little bit of traffic going on over there. Southbound 99 right by Fruit Bridge Road. Northbound 99 just north of Broadway. We have a disabled vehicle that is blocking freeway service. Watt Avenue at El Camino Avenue. 3-car crash. Ambulance and emergency vehicles are over there stopping down the lanes. And Locust Road at Baseline. Now, that's in Auburn. The hit and run, though, is it looks like it's quite serious, and the emergency vehicles are stopping down over there. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Halloween got you scared? How about November 7th?
It's true. We're all in danger.
Vote, vote, vote. AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out of it. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's Tara. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now... I have it all.
This woman is talking about her renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Talk to Enid now. 349-1320.
428 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel. And you can join the conversation. Always toll free, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. My guest in the studio, Simon Winchester, distinguished author and journalist. His new book, A Crack in the Edge of the World, America and the Great California Earthquake of 1906, now available in paperback. Simon, you started out life as a geologist, trained at Oxford, and then how did you go from geology to journalism?
Well, it's a rather long and bizarre story, but essentially it involves my living in East Africa, being a geologist in Uganda, and reading a book by a man called James Morris, which I did in 19...
Is James Morris became a woman? Is that the same James Morris?
Well, thank
Morris?
You so much for completely blowing the story.
Oh.
Yeah, brilliant. But,
I've stepped on your line!
Yeah,
no,
well
no.
done. No, congratulations. It's, yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Do you want to tell us the story anyway?
Not really. I'm sulking now.
Okay.
No. But basically, I wrote to him, said, can I be you? And he said, yes, you know, if you want to be a writer, do this, that, and the other. And we wrote to each other for years and years and years. And then I went to join the newspapers and went to Northern Ireland and then went to Washington.
But you were going to be a travel writer?
No, not at all.
That's what James Morris really
well,
was.
But not really, because the book I read in 1966 that started all this was Coronation Everest, which was his account of being the Times correspondent on the successful Mount Everest expedition of 1953.
Which was Sir Edmund Hillary?
Yeah, Edmund Hillary and Sherpa Tenzing.
Uh-huh.
And Lord Hunt led
and,
it.
And we never knew who really made it up there first.
I don't think they talk about this.
No, they don't talk about it.
No, they don't, right.
And they don't talk about the dead bodies coming down either. They
Indeed,
step
they
over.
Do. There are certain things that
they don't discuss.
They draw a veil over. So anyway, James and I would exchange scores of letters. And then I never met him until 1974. And when I did meet him, he was just on the verge of becoming a woman. And
had he discussed that with you?
No, not at all. Until this particular meeting, and it must have been the summer of 1974. And after seeing this apparition, who I thought was, you know, a chap, in a dress and skirt and high-heeled shoes and all the necklaces and things. But nothing was said about it at the meeting. You know, we just
He didn't say a word.
No, he didn't say a word.
But you'd met him previously.
You may think my dress is somewhat curious. He didn't say that.
He didn't say a thing.
No, not at all.
And you didn't say a thing.
And nor did his wife. No, everyone sat there just... And,
Wait, had you met him previously?
No.
Oh, you'd never met him?
I'd never met him. I'd been corresponding with him for 8 years. And he had been guiding every step of my life. And then I met him, and he was wearing strange clothes, and his wife looked perfectly normal and feminine. But as I say, nothing was said. And then I had this letter 2 days later. Dear Simon, I'm sorry to have put you through what must have been a somewhat awkward social ordeal. But the fact of the matter is I've decided I'm going to become a woman, and I'm going to Casablanca tomorrow. And if the surgery works properly, I will be reborn, and I'm taking the name Jan Morris, and I hope you can accept it, and we'll be friends. Well, not only are we friends, and we've written one book together, but I was at her 80th birthday party last week in London. And
did she remain married or no?
Yes, well, no, because the law doesn't, unfortunately, not like Massachusetts, women are not allowed to be married to one another in Britain, so they had to divorce. But they live together as sisters-in-law. They're still very much in love. And they have 4 children who are somewhat affected, I think, by the fact that they've got, you know, 2 mothers.
Well, there's a little children's book out called Heather Has 2 Moms.
Yes, right. I think when you're prepared for it, I think it came as something of a surprise to all of them.
I once met a man who was undergoing a gender reassignment.
That's what they call it nowadays.
Yes, in order to become a woman so that he could be a lesbian.
Oh, that seems a bit of a waste of time to me.
There is a continuum. And there are a lot of stops now on that continuum.
And I often think that...
Lots of gears between park and neutral in life.
Yes, quite. Well, we drive manual cars in Britain, I might say. Did Jan ever... What was your question? Did she want to be a lesbian?
Yes, I mean, did she go out with men?
It's funny, you know...
But because she was married to this woman, and
yes.
they lived together.
Yes.
As sisters-in-law, but yes. They were really husband and wife and had 4 children together.
Indeed. I think...
This is getting more complicated.
I'm ever going to slightly draw... I mean, she's a very close friend of mine now, yeah. And I slightly draw a veil over this, but I think...
But she's 80.
She's 80, exactly, and that's what I was going to say. And she did this when she was sort of 50-ish. And while I'm certain this doesn't apply to a person like your good self living in this energetic state, in Britain you do tend to slow down carnally when you're 50. And I think she had probably said, right, I've done that bit of my life. I'll devote myself entirely to
writing. Well, in Britain, I think you slow down carnally in your 20s or 30s, too.
But they say,
we're British.
But we're British. We don't want no sex, please. We're British. We don't do that sort of thing.
My guess is Simon Winchester. The book is A Crack in the Edge of the World, America and the Great California Earthquake of 1906. So you start out as a geologist trained at Oxford. And now you were where Renice was last year in her junior year, doing her junior year there. And you now become a journalist specializing in?
News, basically. I mean, I was...
How did you go from geology to news?
Well, thanks to Jan. I mean, thanks to James. I mean, he said, if you want to be a writer, train as a journalist. And so I joined a newspaper in Newcastle-upon-Tyne. And then The Guardian, and then The Guardian sent me to Ireland, and then sent me to Washington, and then from Washington 4 years to Delhi, from Delhi back to New York, from New York to London for a while, and then to Hong Kong. So I've been based as a foreign correspondent. That's really what my career has been. And all throughout this time, I'd write books, and they were monumentally unsuccessful, every one of them.
How were you able to do that, to do the writing and the reporting that you needed to do for your work? And then write other books, mainly nonfiction.
Yes.
How are you able to coordinate those two things?
Well, evidently, judging by the sales, not very well.
Don't say that. I had Alexander McCall Smith on recently.
Uh-huh.
And you know, he was a law professor in Edinburgh and had written 30 books. Have you written 30 of them?
No, but I think I can sense where this is going. And what
and they languished. The number one ladies detective agency started out as a short story, and he just couldn't let it go, and he fleshed it out and fleshed it, continued to write it, right? It became a book. And it got published, and it languished for a very long time. And then through a whole series of happenstance, word of mouth, It became a surprise and underground bestseller.
Well, that's more or less what happened in the case of The Professor and the Madman, because I had, you know, been writing all these books while doing my journalism and traveling around the world, and they all landed like lead balloons. I mean, there was one in 1977 about America, oddly enough, about the American Midwest, which sold 11 copies in 1977.
How could it sell 11 copies?
Well, I don't believe that. That's what the publishers told
me. About the Midwest? I'm from the Midwest.
Well, I like the Midwest.
What were your observations about the Midwest?
Well, evidently rather boring ones, but I spent 6 months driving up and down I-35 between Duluth and Laredo. So it was through Minnesota, Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Texas. Up and down and up and down.
I hate to say this about our beloved Sacramento, the capital of the fifth or sixth largest economy in the world, but it has been described as Omaha with palm trees.
There is
a Midwestern kind of soul here, in a way.
But I think it's the good side of the Midwest. It's not the tedious side.
No, yes, all right.
What did you
observe in the Midwest?
Oh, gracious me. Long time ago, but I mean, my thought was that this was published in bicentenary year, and I thought all the hoopla would be historical, and I liked the Midwest and saw in it the values, you know, thrift, hard work, and all that sort of thing, which was the quintessence of this country. But unfortunately, the readers didn't agree, and they saw instead a tedious collection of anecdotes about really rather dull and stupid people, the good ones of whom left and came to California. So anyway, that book didn't do well. But what I wanted to say was that how luck plays a part in a writer's career.
Luck plays a part in everybody's.
Well, let me tell you the story.
Napoleon said, "I don't want good generals, I want lucky generals."
Yes, exactly. Well, the luck in my case was that I wrote this book, The Professor and the Madman, and it did, you know, moderately well in Britain when it was published there. It was due to be published sometime in 1998. I go away to the Arctic to do research for a new book. I'm way, way up, latitude 81 north, sledding with an Australian friend of mine. The Canadian government insists if you go to this particular part of the world that you take a radio. So I did. And one day the radio crackled into life, and there was a voice on the end which said, "Mr. Winchester, are you anywhere near a telephone?" And I said, "Well, I'm about 60 miles from a telephone. Can you possibly sled towards it? Because there's a very urgent call to a New York number." So I consulted my pal, and we decided to divert, and we sled. It took about 3 days. Got to the telephone, made the call to this New York number, and it turned out to be a publicist. I'd never had a publicist in my life, one you know well, called Jane Byrne.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "I'm your publicist for this book of yours that's coming out this year, and we've been called by the New York Times. They've expressed an interest in it. A chap called Mel Gusso wants to interview you. And basically, in this business, if the New York Times says jump, you say how high. Can you possibly get to an airfield? We'll pay, come back for 1 day to New York City." And I said, "Yes, I suppose so." So there was an airfield about another 100 miles further on. So 3 days later, we got there. I whistled up an aeroplane, went down to Resolute Bay, then to Ottawa, then to New York, had lunch with this fellow, Mel Gusso, perfectly pleasant occasion, and flew back to the Arctic and continued the expedition and came back in the end in about late April, early May. And I rang this Jane Byrne, and I said, "So what was all that about?" And she said, "Well, he writes a column called At Lunch With, which is usually on the front of the art section. So he liked you, the photographer who came, apparently considering the subject material, liked you too. And there will be a piece some Monday soon." Well, all the Mondays in May went past, all the Mondays in June, all the Mondays in July, all the Mondays in August, and it didn't appear. And then at the very end, Jane rang me in August, late August, said, "I've got some good news and some bad news. The good news is that the piece appears on Monday coming. It'll be on the front page. There are 4 photographs. Mel Gusso loved you. It's an absolute paean to your book." That's the good news. The bad news, however, is that you as an Englishman may not realize this, but Monday in America is Labor Day, and no one here reads the New York Times on Labor Day. Well, that would have been true, except Labor Day 1998 in New York, it rained all day. And New Yorkers had nothing to do but read the New York Times from cover to cover. And they all read this piece. They didn't go out to their bookstores, but they ordered it on Amazon. And by the end of that working day, this obscure little book was number one on Amazon.com.
Oh, my goodness.
And it remained on the New York Times bestseller list for 53 weeks, all thanks to a rainstorm in New York.
My guest is Simon Winchester. His new book, now in paperback, A Crack in the Edge of the World, America and the Great California Earthquake of 1906. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you. An absolutely beautiful Sacramento weather today. 81. We're going to see that for the next couple of days. Maybe by next Monday, it'll be 77. Though we have lows tonight right around 55. Our traffic, we have slow areas downtown, especially by the Capitol, due to what looks like a motorcycle and a car got into it over there. I-5 and J Street, three-car crash we have pretty much every single day. So if you can take off one or the other off ramps there, that might be better because it is stopping traffic down. Sunrise Boulevard en route to westbound 50, we have a three-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
They're slinging mud.
We're slinging the truth.
Perhaps you should keep that in mind before making sensationalist claims.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
The color pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320LeftChannel.com.
Live and local, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
4:43 on the Lucky Tuesday, Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And with me in studio, Simon Winchester, distinguished author, journalist, formerly a geologist, his new book in paperback, A Crack in the Edge of the World, about the 1906 San Francisco earthquake. Simon, we were talking about the Queen. And let's talk about the Queen.
Apparently most English men dream about the Queen once or twice a week.
Really?
Well, I don't think I ever have.
Well, talking about your experiences, you know, I have covered the Diana wedding and the Diana funeral in London. And at the wedding, when I went to pick up my press credentials at the Privy Purse entrance to the palace, to Buckingham Palace, which at that time had cheesy linoleum that was to look like marble. It was like fake marble. And I thought, gee, I would have thought that they would have had real marble at the Privy Purse entrance. But anyway, I saw this long line. It stretched forever of women wearing floaty dresses, chiffon dresses and hats, and men in morning coats and top hats and uniforms, and a few in what the English call lounge suits. And it looked like a Fellini movie. And I asked, and it was, these people were lining up to attend the Queen's garden party, and she gave four of them a year, intimate soirees of between 4,000 and 8,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, gee, I wonder if I can be invited to one of those. And so I requested an invitation. It wasn't that she said, you know, Enid's in town, we've got to have her. And I got an invitation, which only allows you into the cheap seats. You know, they bring you into the mm-hmm. garden, but there are all these special tents that you have to have special admissions for. One is the diplomatic tent, so if you're, you know, part of the diplomatic corps. One is the royal tent, so you can't go anywhere near the royal tent unless you are invited. And one is, you know, the cheap seats for the rest of us, and they don't give you napkins, but it was really interesting. And it was where they brought Diana out, trotted her out. You form lanes, and any introduction, you just don't jump out and shake hands. The introductions are arranged in advance with the Lord Chamberlain. And that was my experience with the Queen, but what has yours been?
Well, my earliest experience is probably one that I can't really repeat, but she actually told me a dirty joke quite some long time ago.
She did?
I mean, it's not an improper joke, but my most recent, which is much more respectable thing to talk about was that I got an award. It was announced on December the 31st, so it was what's called the New Year's Honours, which is a thing called an OBE, which means an Officer of the Order of the British Empire. It's terribly Ruritanian, but it's...
It's what the Beatles were awarded.
The Beatles got... I think they got MBEs, which is...
I thought it was OBEs, well, but maybe I'm wrong. You're probably right, because you're a journalist.
Well, I think they got MBEs. Anyway, they sent theirs back, or at least one of them did. It was Vietnam War or something made him...
Oh.
I think John Lennon got rather cross and sent his back. But I had to go to the palace and get it, so I had to dress up in this Fellini's kit of, you know...
What did you have to wear? Because you get to wear a lounge suit, which is really a business suit.
No, I wouldn't wear a lounge suit.
You have to... morning coat?
I was in morning coat and top, grey top hat.
Yeah. Do you rent them? Do you have them?
Yes. Well, I actually do have a morning coat, but I think it was in Washington and rather New York and rather sort of moth-eaten, so I... decided, because I'd brought my mother and one of my children and a very good friend, you're allowed to bring three guests. I thought I'd sort of roll it all out and dress as impeccably as I could. And so, I rented it, and I thought it looked rather smooth.
I bet it did.
And my friend,
and then what happens when you go and collect your OBE?
Well, you wait in line with other people. Don't know if you saw a film called... I've forgotten the name of it. Anyway, so there was an English actress who was in it about an abortionist. And Roddy... I'm forgetting
McDowell.
All these names. No, not McDowell. He plays in a series where he plays a big, fat Scottish detective. Who's
MacGyver.
It was not MacGyver. He's an American. But anyway, whoever this chap was, we were there getting our awards. And you wait until the moment you're called by... the palace announcer, and then you've got all the guests waiting, and there's great tension in the air, and then you're pushed forward, you stand in front of the Queen, you bow.
Where are your friends?
They're behind me now. They're in the Great Hall at Buckingham Palace. And then you walk towards her, and she is being briefed by someone who says, "Ah, oh, this is Simon Winchester, he's a writer," you know. And then you've already got a little hook on your lapel, and she pins the medal on you, and then engages you in, quote, the conversation. And in my case, the conversation went like this. I said, "Oh, Mr. Winchester," she said, "are you still writing these days?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I have to write because I have to pay the mortgage." And a sort of dreamy look came into her eye, and she said, "Mortgage," as if she wasn't quite sure what a mortgage was. A mortgage, yes, yes, I think I know that, yes, a mortgage. And I understand you live in America. And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I do." "Where in America?" "I like America very much. Used to be ours, you know." She didn't say that. And "Where in America do you live?" And I said, "I live in Massachusetts." "Oh, jolly cold." I think at this time of year it was March. And I said, "Yes, ma'am, it is rather cold. In fact, they told me it's very cold at the moment, and they told me that when I came to England it would be cold. But believe you me, compared to Massachusetts, London is like the Bahamas." "The Bahamas. We love the Bahamas." And she went on for about 30 seconds on the joys of the Bahamas. And then she extends her hand to you, and as she shakes it, pushes you backwards. And that is the signal which you're warned about, that if you're in volume two of your life story, now is the time to end it.
Do you have to walk backwards?
You walk backwards.
Because you cannot turn your back on the queen.
No. And then you bow, and then you turn to your right, and it's over.
This ma'am is the second reference. Madam, is madam the first reference?
No, the first reference to the Queen when you meet her is Your Highness.
Your Highness. And then ma'am is the second reference.
Yes, so when she told me the dirty joke. I mean, maybe I should tell you, but
yes,
it's not very dirty.
Well, tell us.
I was in Washington.
We're always up for dirty jokes.
Well, it's not dirty, but it was... So I'm standing in the garden with a lot of other journalists. British. She likes to meet, when she's in a foreign country like America, likes to meet the local British journalists, the BBC person, the Times person, the Guardian person, the Telegraph person. So we're all grouped in the garden at the British Embassy on Massachusetts Avenue, and we're told the Queen is going to arrive at the top of the steps at 2:15, will be brought down by an equerry who will introduce her to the journalists who are in groups of three or four. So I'm with Martin Bell of the BBC and a chap called John Smith who works for a newspaper called The People. The Queen comes to us first, and the equerry says, "Can I introduce Mr. Simon Winchester of the Guardian?"
Define equerry.
An equerry is an aide, you know,
the
ADC. And so you bow from the waist, court bow it's called. You extend your hand, greet, squeeze the gloved hand of hers sort of lightly but firmly, and then say a very good afternoon, Your Royal Highness, or Your Majesty, I forget which it was. And then she shakes the hands of the other people. And then she always asks the same question whenever she's in a foreign country. She says, are you based here? As if you want to say, no, ma'am, I've actually come 3,000 miles just for the dubious privilege of meeting you at a garden party. But then the conversation sort of stills. And I thought, well, I'm a sort of chatty sort of fellow. I'll start the conversation. So I said, ma'am, I was lucky enough to be in Philadelphia yesterday. And I saw the Royal Yacht Britannia with you and the royal party on board sailing up the Schuylkill River. I saw you disembark, and of course I'm thinking, why am I starting this crazy conversation and all my colleagues are just going to laugh at me? I saw you arrive, and I saw you being greeted by the head of protocol for the American government, Mr. Henry Catto, and by the mayor of Philadelphia, Frank Rizzo. And she rose to the occasion when she heard the name Frank Rizzo and said, yes, Arthur, Mr. Rizzo, a rather colourful gentleman. As you probably know, Frank Rizzo was a deeply corrupt ex-policeman.
Yeah, and with mafia ties.
Dreadful, dreadful man. And I said, yes, you know he used, ma'am, to be the head of the Philadelphia police force. And she said, yes, yes, I did know a little about him. In fact, strange that you should mention him, because he actually came to the White House dinner last night. And both my husband and I remarked that he appeared to be wearing his nightstick, his truncheon, under his dinner jacket trousers. And there was this horrified moment when no one knew what to say. But I said, well, maybe mommy was just pleased to see you. And she hit me with her handbag and said, Mr. Winchester, rather vulgar, but really most amusing. And then whenever we met subsequently, she would bring it up. She'd say, oh, that rather nice remark about Mr. Rizzo's nightstick.
Rather vulgar, but most amusing. You know, I knew somebody who she was the wife of Dr. Carl Menninger of the Menninger Foundation.
Oh, yes.
And I was very young, and we went to a wine tasting, and I didn't know what you were supposed to do at a wine. And it was at Maxine's. It was in Chicago. And she was writing down descriptions of all the wines.
She was the queen.
No, Jean Menninger. But she said, morose. Her description for that wine was morose but amusing. So I like, but I like yours better.
Vulgar but amusing.
My guest Simon Winchester, the new book now in paperback, A Crack in the Edge of the World: America and the Great California Earthquake of 1906. I'm Enid Goldstein. You are listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you. Absolutely gorgeous weather. Nice for a bike ride or a stroll and around the park. We have lows 55, highs 81 happening tomorrow. Now, our freeway service is being blocked over at eastbound 50 just east of northbound Watt Avenue. Sunrise Boulevard en route to westbound 50, we have a two-car crash. And El Camino Avenue just west of Watt Avenue, a two-car crash is slowing things down just a little bit. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's Enid Live, doing full frontal talk radio. AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I can't wait to hear the rest of the show.
Hurry in the... Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to stackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's stackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, stackjobs.com is a click away. At stackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Don't want to be an American idiot. Don't want a nation under the new media. Hey, can you hear the sound of hysteria? The subliminal mind, America.
whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Taking the left lane all the way home with Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's getting to be the Los Alamos National Sieve. CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson has learned of another leak of classified materials from the government's nuclear weapons lab in New Mexico. The materials were found when local police staged a drug raid at an area home.
Right now, our sources aren't able to tell us what kind of classified materials this involves. We don't know if it's a computer. We don't know if it's paper. We don't know if it's top secret or how classified it is. But we do know that this material is not supposed to leave the grounds of the lab to be unguarded in somebody's home, especially somebody who's running a methamphetamine lab.
The FBI is investigating. 2 years ago, an inventory at the lab revealed the two computer disks containing classified material were missing. The top U.S. general in Iraq, General George Casey, and U.S. Ambassador Zalmay Khalilzad made a rare joint appearance at a Baghdad news briefing today, saying Iraqi security forces should be able to handle things on their own in a year to a year and a half. And Khalilzad said the Iraqi government is on board.
Implementing a plan to address militias and death squads and increasing the credibility and capability of Iraqi forces. Iraqi leaders have agreed to a timeline or making the hard decision needed to resolve these issues.
Four more American troops have been killed in Iraq, pushing the death toll since the invasion above 2,800. CBS News correspondent John Harchi has more from Washington.
Joint Chiefs Chairman Marine General Peter Pace concedes October has been a rough month in Iraq.
This is a time of difficulty. There's no doubt about that.
Pace insists he's not personally discouraged.
This is a long, long fight.
And he says though the commander in Iraq, General Casey, thought earlier U.S. troop levels might be going down by this Christmas.
From what we can see right now, it makes sense that at this time next year or a little bit later, that for the most part, the Iraqi security forces can be in the lead.
So 12 to 18 months from now is the current timeline, with benchmarks for Iraqis to assume more and more responsibility. John Harchi, CBS News, Washington.
Some parents of infants and toddlers have resisted advice to have their children vaccinated against the flu, but a study out today offers reassurance. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato explains.
The CDC considered the flu vaccine safe when it recommended that it be given to kids between the ages of 6 and 23 months. But Kaiser Permanente researchers wanted to see if any hidden problems would be revealed as more and more children were vaccinated. They found nothing serious. They conclude in this study in the Journal of the American Medical Association, the vaccine is safe.
House Speaker Dennis Hastert was the star witness today as the Ethics Committee continues its probe of the Mark Foley scandal.
Well, I answered all the questions they asked in the best of my ability.
Like other witnesses, Hastert said nothing about the substance of his answers behind closed doors. Two Republican leaders have said they warned Hastert some time ago about Foley's inappropriate emails to congressional pages. Hastert has said he doesn't remember those warnings. The Dow up 11 points today to 12,127. This is CBS News.
Bobby, when I was a kid, we didn't have rollback season.
Yes, Grandpa?
Kids today don't understand. All they do is save, save, save. They don't understand the way we used to have to spend.
Uh-huh.
Spending money left and right and not thinking a thing about it.
Sounds horrible, Grandpa.
I know saving feels good. I just want you to appreciate it, that's all.
It's rollback season at Walmart. We've rolled back the prices on 10,000 of your favorite items. Stop in today and save big.
If there were a store on your main street called Peace of Mind, would you pay it a visit? On main streets all across America, there is such a place. New York Life. We have been offering customers peace of mind for over 160 years. Peace of mind comes from our agents who adhere to the values of financial strength, integrity, and humanity. So look for us in your town. Peace of mind is why New York Life is the company you keep.
As if the damage and dislocation weren't enough, WWL Radio's Dave Cohen reports storm victims on the Gulf Coast are coping now with unscrupulous contractors.
Contractor fraud is a growing problem as people work to repair and rebuild their homes devastated by Hurricane Katrina. The State Attorney General's Office and the FBI are busily working fraud complaints, whether it's a contractor who accepts a down payment and disappears, or one who starts some work but never finishes it. The Louisiana Attorney General's Office says it alone is investigating more than 140 cases of possible contractor fraud. Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
In New York, a second search at Ground Zero yielded more human remains today, bones found in underground passages at the fringe of the World Trade Center site. Mayor Bloomberg says the initial search after 9/11 was rushed in an effort to get remains to the families as soon as possible. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
Live, 5 minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And just to let you know, first of all, if you are just tuning in, poor you, you have missed a delightful guest, Simon Winchester, but you can catch up with him tonight at Roseville Galleria, Barnes & Noble. He'll be there at about 7 o'clock, and you will have a great evening. And one of you, John, emailed me, tell Mr. Winchester that the name of the TV detective he was trying to remember is Robbie Coltrane. This is what's great about the listeners. You all rat each other out, and you come up with the best information. So we are thrilled. He has written his new paperback, A Crack in the Edge of the World, but in any event, he's just delightful and a really very interesting man. So you can meet him tonight. And tomorrow, back to politics, Jerry McNerney, who has a chance to take down Richard Pombo. And let me just share this with you. Apparently, Pombo is refusing to give interviews at this point, and he is Pombo. Now, this is really what's interesting to me. Pombo is running for his life here. He could easily. The polling is so close. It looks like McNerney is a little bit ahead of Pombo. Not, you know, statistical dead heat, but there it is. But in any event, here you have a race that shows that it's so tight that it is too close to call. This is District 11. Pombo, and it's an area that covers, a district that covers parts of the South Bay and the Tri-Valley area. But the biggest portion of the district is in San Joaquin County. And McNerney has always made himself available to talk to voters and reporters, as he should, because he doesn't have probably anywhere near the funds that Pombo does. But Pombo has turned down requests for interviews this past month from just about everybody. I don't know why. It would seem to me that if you're in a dead heat, even Sacramento television stations have requested interviews with Pombo. Pombo's turning him down. So I don't know why you're going to do that if you're in a dead heat. Maybe you're like Doolittle. It's the same kind of strategy. Just run and hide. Preserve what you have. Don't say anything that's going to get you into any trouble. In any event, we'll ask Jerry McNerney about this. We're going to have him on tomorrow in the 4 o'clock hour. On Thursday, Tess Gerritsen, who has written a blockbuster, The Mephisto Club. She writes thrillers, she has just been nominated for the prestigious Mystery Writers Award, the Edgar Award. And she will be with us in studio on Thursday, and the reason she's here is she's appearing on behalf of the Sacramento Bee Book Club. So those of you who are going to that event, you will meet her after she's here on Enid Live. And on Friday, finally, we are going to have with us Deborah Bowen, and we support Deborah. Deborah is running for Secretary of State against Bruce McPherson. The whole issue of voting is coming up, and whether or not there is integrity in the voting system, all of that is now in the mainstream. There were people like me and probably people like you, too, who were on to the voting issue, on to whether or not e-voting was reliable, whether or not you could hack into the system, whether or not you could get an honest tally, how easy it was to alter the tally if you were Machiavellian or if you were Karl Rove or if you were Dickey or whoever you were, if you were in Ohio. I don't know. But now everybody knows about it, or at least it's become a more mainstream conversation. So she will be with us on Friday. I think we have a wonderful lineup of guests. And we usually have them in our 4 o'clock hour. Now, if a lot of you are getting into the car at 5, you might miss some of them. I know a lot of you are with us at 4. A lot of you get out of work at 3:30, at 4 o'clock. So I want to hear some feedback from you because we're thinking 4 o'clock is a really good time for guests and we can get onto the issues at 5 and so on. But I would love feedback from you as to whether or not you miss a lot of the guests at 4, whether or not you get to hear a lot of the guests at 4. I think we're not going to be able to satisfy everybody, but I haven't had any feedback from you, so I'm assuming that what we're doing now is working. So feel free, 349-1320. These are your airwaves. This is your program. This is where you can be heard. 866-620-6120. If you've never called a radio talk show before, think about doing it. Less than 1% of the audience ever calls in. You will be heard by more people than you will probably meet in the whole rest of your life. You could possibly alter the dialogue, and at the very least, you will be heard. So you've been thinking these thoughts, and you're thinking, why doesn't somebody say something about that? Well, maybe we haven't thought of it until you brought it up. So 349-1320, 866-620-6120. And I'm going to tell you, when things are going well and all of you are calling in, I'm usually smarter at the end of the show than I was when I started out, the beginning of the show, because everybody contributes something to the conversation, and then suddenly we know what's going on. That's how we know what's going on. You know, the ant that's on the tusk of the elephant thinks the elephant, as I have said about 5 million times, is made of ivory. Well, if all the ants, you know, from different parts of the elephant are reporting back, then we get the picture of what's really happening. You can email me, enid@kctc.com, or we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. Let us head over to the phones and to Dave in Roseville. Dave, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I was just going to comment on 4 o'clock. I think it's a little bit early for a lot of us who are not quite out of work yet. I just got in my car, and I would hate to hear that I missed an interview with either one of the candidates or somebody who might have something interesting.
All of our guests have been booked at 4 o'clock for this week. So if you are getting in your car and you don't get into your car till almost 5 o'clock, is that right? I guess you're going to miss
That's
those interviews. Are you in a place where you can catch our live stream?
Unfortunately not. They block all the streaming radio stations by firewall, so...
Okay, so for you, 4 o'clock does not work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately not. 5 o'clock's better, or, you know, quarter to 5. But that's me.
Okay, Dave from Roseville. Okay, well, you know what? Maybe you should quit your job.
Unfortunately.
So you can listen to all of our interviews at 4 o'clock. Huh? We have a solution for you. Just quit your job. Forget about
just
that.
Quit my job.
Yeah, that's right. You're going to be... You'll be supported by Fabulous Talk Radio.
I was going to say I could be one of those people that, you know, the neocons are saying won't do for themselves at that point.
I thank you. I thank you. Thanks for weighing in. I appreciate it. Does the 4 o'clock work for a lot of you? I'm happy to have the feedback because that's the only way we will really know for sure. Okay, if you're just joining us, let me just tell you where we were, and we're going to some other places as well. Where we have been is to talk about the fact that yesterday, as you probably know, we all had some depressing news, and that is that there are a couple of new polls out that show Charlie Brown trailing Deep Doo-Doo-Doolittle in one poll by 10 points and another poll by 8 points. So as we're nursing our depressive hangover, we pick up the Washington Post today, and there is a lovely story about how Charlie Brown has a real shot at winning. Let me see if I can fish it out of the pile here. That he is... I'll find it here in just a second. But in any event, he has a real... a chance at winning the election. And so suddenly that made us all feel a lot better. And so I shared that with you, and I hope that the Washington Post is right. But I think that you've got to take those polls that came out yesterday seriously. And I think if you were thinking about volunteering for Charlie's campaign, and if you were thinking about volunteering some cash for the campaign, now is the time to do it. But the Washington Post was very favorable about Charlie's prospects. They're really calling it a real possibility for Charlie. So that helped to solve some of our angst from yesterday. And also what comes out today is, insofar as the Schwartzy campaign is concerned, he made a deal with the Democrats on global warming issues. And everybody, you know, he got tremendous amount of publicity for it. He got all kinds of national publicity for it. He got all kinds of local publicity for it. Everyone said, oh, yeah, yeah, bipartisanship, this is great. And you know what he signs in an executive statement? Something else. Something he promised he wouldn't do. Well, he's doing it. It's like Dickie doing signing statements. I'm signing on to that law, but I am exempting myself in the process. So he does this... exemption, or does the thing that the Democrats thought they had one kind of a deal, but Schwartzy's got another deal in mind. And the Democrats are furious now. So I think it proves two things. It proves, first of all, that you can't, that Schwartzy's not good. His word isn't any good. You can't trust him. He'll do whatever it takes to win, whether there are any core beliefs or not. We really, that I doubt it, but I think his major core belief is to get what he wants in life. That's really what he's focused on. And whatever it takes to do that, that's what he's going to do. So I think that's what gets revealed here. Also, that he's going to go to market rates here instead of regulation. So that tells me, if we're talking about global warming issue and greenhouse gas and so on, That tells me that when the issue of rate re-regulation ever comes up, or energy issues come up, he's going to go for the corporations. He's not going to go for protecting us or we the people. He's going to go for protecting those big corporations, because he has ambitions beyond governing the state of California. What he has run is one of the slickest, best campaigns anybody has seen in a time that is very anti-Republican. He has managed to pull it off. But that doesn't mean he can run the state. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to pound that. And those of you who are thinking about voting for Schwartzy, think twice. And insofar as the Washington Post story is concerned, here's the headline. And for Charlie Brown in California, Charlie Brown could have the last laugh. You know, and when they begin the story, Charlie Brown for Congress, at first it sounded like a joke. You know, nobody knew about Charlie Brown. And they talk about how there are two kinds of candidates. One that's kind of recruited to run, and the other one that pulls himself up by the bootstraps. And Charlie was one of those. It was just a gut feeling he had that Doolittle was vulnerable. And Doolittle is more vulnerable now than he has ever been. And Charlie, I think, would make a wonderful congressman. So let me just suggest that you get on your horse and see what you can do on Charlie's behalf, even if you're not in the district. A lot of people are coming in to help out from Davis, from Yolo County. A lot of people are coming to help out from the Bay Area. A lot of people are coming to help out from Sacramento and for parts of California that are not in Doolittle and in the 4th Congressional District to help Charlie, because he is a superior candidate. Proposition 90, forget it. Don't vote for it. Vote no on 90. It's a terrible taxpayer trap, and a lot of people are sending me emails about it. It poses this reform of eminent domain, but there's a huge Trojan horse in Prop 90 in the fine print. Prop 90 is actually a radical right-wing takings proposal that would completely disable local government's ability to regulate land use in order to protect existing properties and the integrity of our communities. The way Prop 90 works is simple. Anytime our government wants to protect open space, prevent an inappropriate development, save an old-growth forest, or restrict offshore oil drilling, Prop 90 would empower hordes of people to sue the government and collect compensation if they feel their properties, businesses, or any potential future profits have been compromised. Everybody says it's a horrible idea. Dan Weintraub, in his piece today, he says it is the sleeper in this fall's lineup. He says, like the surprise ending to a long, dreary novel, Prop 90 sits at the very end of this fall's crowded California ballot, a subtle plot twist that seems out of place among the more obvious turns that preceded. But take notice, he said, this unassuming proposal is the most important question voters are going to confront on November 7. Polls show that very few voters know what Prop 90 is all about, much less understand its significance. No wonder, given that relatively little money has been spent so far communicating messages for and against the initiative. The Prop 90's promoters are selling it as a reform of eminent domain so that government can't take your property without, you know, a whole fair process. But it's much more than that. It is a sweeping change in the state constitution that could potentially affect just about every new state or local government regulation adopted in the future. The part of Prop 90 that deals with eminent domain is simple enough. It would limit the use of eminent domain to sales needed for a specific public use, like a road or a school, or to remove a narrowly defined nuisance such as an abandoned home or business that has become a danger to the community. Prop 90 would prohibit government from forcing the sale of private property and then selling that property to another owner for private use. Government would have to retain ownership of any property it took through eminent domain, and if it later decided to sell the property, the original owner would have first call on buying it back. If this all that Prop 90 did, it would still be opposed by a lot of city governments, but it does more than that. But Prop 90 doesn't stop there. It applies not just to the forced sale of land, but requires compensation for other government actions that might result in a substantial loss of value to private property. Compensation, the proposal says, could be required when the government restricts the kind of uses permitted on a piece of property or limits access to property or to private airspace. It would also apply to any statute, charter provision, ordinance, resolution, law, rule, and regulation adopted after Prop 90 takes effect. In other words, anything that the government does that could reduce the value of someone's property. Weintraub says this is a sleeper provision in a sleeper initiative that could strictly limit the ability of government to regulate private business. Even if it applied only to real property, it will call into question future environmental regulations and zoning laws and make many of them prohibitively expensive. But some experts, including the state's nonpartisan legislative analysts, believe that this is part of Prop 90 would apply not just to real property, but also to laws and regulations affecting employment conditions, consumer financial protections, and other matters where an individual or business could argue that its assets were damaged by a government action. In other words, vote no on 90. It's got a Trojan horse buried in it. You don't want it. It's not going to help us. It pretends to be one thing. It is another thing. And I've gotten a million emails from many of you on Prop 90. So there it is. The right way to vote on 90 is forget about it. 349-1320, 866, 620-6-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have lows tonight right around 55. Our highs coming up for the next couple of days, just absolutely gorgeous, 81, 82. And our traffic isn't as gorgeous, but it's okay. A little slow, I-5, South End I-5, 50, and right there by Watt Avenue, we have a three-car crash. I-80 going west, right by Madison Avenue, there's a three-car crash there as well. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong. Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hello, citizens of the world.
Want to keep up on what's going on in your community? Go to the events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
The first step on the road back to reality.
You'll find out about political happenings, cultural events, concerts, and more.
Really? They thought of everything.
Don't just sit there. Do something and make a difference.
Make a difference. If we don't act now, it's going to be too late.
Find out how you can get involved.
And be sure to bookmark it.
The events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
Doc, I'm just about...
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
A little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Never thought that I knew too much. I always thought I knew enough. I didn't want to learn this stuff. I didn't ever want to be that tough. But love was just a blind. Everything else died.
525. On the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Again, the guest lineup tomorrow, Jerry McNerney. It looks like he's got a successful challenge going to Richard Pombo, who won't even answer interview requests. He won't let himself be interviewed, just like Deep Doo Doo Doolittle. And on Thursday, Tess Gerritsen, the blockbuster writer of thrillers, who's also an MD. And on Friday, Deborah Bowen. We are supporting her for Secretary of State, and you should be as well. The GOP opens up his pocketbook, and it is dumping out the contents to Deep Doo Doo Doolittle. He's getting more national funding than Charlie Brown is. The National Republican Congressional Committee is pouring money into the 4th Congressional District in an independent effort to help shore up Deep Doo Doo's prospects. Meanwhile, the Democrats have given some money, as far as I know, it's an undisclosed amount, to Charlie Brown. So my exhortation to you is do what you can to help Charlie, because I think he's still got a really good shot at this. 349-1320-866-626-1320. And guess who is coming to Los Angeles to help out Phil Angelides? Barack Obama, the new rock star of the left, is joining Phil and Mayor L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, Art Torres, and all kinds of people at USC in Los Angeles on Friday, University of Second Chances at of Southern California, at Los Angeles on Friday. So elected officials also scheduled to attend include Don Parada, Fabian Nunez, Cruz Bustamante, Steve Wesley, where's he been? John Garamendi, John Chang, and Deborah Bowen will be there. So Barack Obama, who is mulling, he's not being coy about it. And by the way, there's a story about him today. You know what he said? He said, I did inhale. He said, and that was the point. Ha! 349-1320-866-626-1320. Finally, a whiff of honesty. A toke of honesty. Elaine in Rockland. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Elaine.
Oh, hi. How you doing, Enid?
Doing well. Thank you.
You know, I have some information. I think maybe that you need to check it out a little bit. But I got this from the Charlie Brown campaign. And they said the poll that was done by ABC was skewed, or they felt it was skewed, because normally when you do a poll, there's like 48% Republicans that they do, you know, that they call, and 32% Democrats, I guess, within Placer County. Well, that particular poll skewed it by calling 54% of Republicans and 28% of Democrats.
All right, but there was another poll, however, that narrowed the lead, Doolittle's lead, to 8 points. And so it puts Doolittle, that one, the News 10 survey, that was 10-point lead. The other one is an 8-point lead. And so what would you say about that?
I'm not sure, because I only know about the ABC poll, and that's what they were talking about on the ABC poll, that they called more Republicans. In fact, to skew the poll, it was 8% more Republicans than they normally would.
All right. Well, let's just assume. You know, I'm from the take the lemon and make a lemonade out of it school of behavior. Let's assume that those polls are not too off. I hope they're very off the mark. But let's assume that they're not, and let them be a catalyst for those of you who might have been sitting on your hands thinking, well, you know, Charlie's going to do it. He's going to take it. I don't have to get involved. You got to get involved.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Are you doing anything for the campaign?
Well, we're kind of walking some neighborhoods. We've gotten a lot of signs up here in Rockland, and it's amazing how many signs. I know sometimes that doesn't mean anything because I'm not sure where Doolittle is. But I'll tell you, I think that especially on this one, these two streets that are basically all Republicans, I mean, there's probably maybe 8 or 9 signs, which is a lot for that street, and only one of them is for Doolittle.
Can you talk to your Republican neighbors and do some reconnaissance that way and do some persuading that way?
I can. I think a lot of the, you know, I'm on the board of directors of this Clover Valley Foundation that we have here, and we have, you know, we have a pretty big mailing list, you know, but I mean, I think that Rockland in general is really, really conservative, but I think the Democrats are definitely coming out. You know, before no one spoke who they were for, but now they are. And I think there's even few Republicans for Doolittle signs that are out, too, which is kind of interesting, too. So.
Well, whatever you can do, if you can volunteer some, you know, if you can write a check. You probably have already written checks, but I guess it's time to write another check. Whatever people can do, $5, $10, $50, $100, $1,000, whatever you're able to do is, I'm sure, appreciated and will be useful.
Well, we're seeing a lot of commercials here, too, on our local Starstream cable. So he's starting to, Charlie Brown's starting to, you know, get the commercials out, too, which I think is really going to help.
Are you seeing a lot of Doolittle commercials up there?
I have seen no Doolittle commercials. We're getting flyers. We're getting, you know, those 8.5 by 11 flyers that, you know, he sends out. I forget what the one they had yesterday, but
well, what the Washington Post is saying is that given his showing in the June primary, his base has eroded.
Yeah, well,
and for my money, it hasn't eroded fast enough or deep enough.
Yeah, well, I can't believe people are still even thinking about voting for him. But
you should hear the people who call in who are his big supporters and fans. They think he's going to be great for their taxes, and they're voting their pocketbooks. Elaine, I thank you very much, and thanks for the good work you're doing. I appreciate it. 349-1320, 866-620, 613-20. Doug in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, I wanted to make an announcement about Charlie Brown, but before I do, I can't resist a comment that people in Lily White, Republican Placer County, would be the first ones, and I've heard them, to complain about minority Democrats who are corrupt that getting reelected by their districts in places like Chicago and so forth. And how ironic that these people are going to do this, possibly the same thing. Anyway, there's an event for Charlie Brown this evening right now from 5:30 to 7:30 at Coffee Garden in Curtis Park here in Sacramento.
Okay.
2904 Franklin Boulevard.
2904 Franklin Boulevard. What's it called? Coffee Park?
Coffee Garden.
Oh, Coffee Garden. In Curtis Park. Okay.
2904 Franklin Boulevard. It's $40.
$40. But no one will be turned away, I imagine.
No, but it's the next 2 hours. So.
Next 2 hours.
5:30 to 7:30.
Okay, Doug, you've done your Charlie Brown duty here, and we thank you for sharing the information. 349-1320. Oh, my God. And I didn't even know she was in the race. Porn star Mary Carey said that she's dropping out of the California governor's race. I didn't know she had dropped into it to be with her injured mother. Remember that Mary Carey shot to worldwide fame with her quixotic gubernatorial candidate against Schwartzy in 2003. She says that her mother is in critical condition in a hospital and facing surgery, that the mother's schizophrenic, didn't take her medication, and, oh my God, jumped off a building. Carey said she broke both of her legs, shattered her feet, shattered 4 vertebrae, and it's remarkable that she survived. Mary Carey is remarkable that she also survived, having been the star of such adult film titles as Boobsville Sorority Girls, Cheerleader School, and she was running as a write-in candidate this year because she could not collect enough signatures to be on the November ballot. Last week, she followed the lead of Phil Angelides in demanding that NBC TV host Jay Leno give her equal time on The Tonight Show following Schwartzy's recent guest appearance on the program. Leno did not extend an invitation either to Mary Carey or Phil Angelides. Carey said she expected her mother, who did not suffer any head trauma or internal injuries in the fall, to recover from her injuries. The porn star said she had not abandoned her political ambitions and was considering a move to California to be near her mother and to possibly run against Governor Jeb Bush. Well, God bless Mary Carey is all I can tell you. So here's Senator Barack Obama. Barack Obama is coming to Los Angeles to stump for Phil Angelides, and I think that's just really wonderful. I'm thrilled about that. Rush Limbaugh, El Porco Grande, is he or is he not an OxyContin? Is he or is he not a junkie? Well, here's what he's saying. He got himself into the soup. He said Rush Limbaugh today attacked Michael J. Fox, the actor, for inserting his halting voice into the U.S. You know, Michael J. Fox has Parkinson's. For inserting his halting voice into the U.S. Senate campaign in Missouri, suggesting that Fox was, quote, acting in a commercial where he's shown shaking while endorsing the importance of stem cell research. Limbaugh said he is exaggerating the effects of the disease. Limbaugh told his listeners today, encouraging them to go online to watch Fox's commercial, which first aired October 21 in St. Louis during a World Series game, always moving all around and shaking, and Rush says it's purely an act. In the commercial, Matthew J. Fox throws his support behind the candidate Claire McCaskill, who supports stem cell research, and she's the Democratic candidate. Michael J. Fox also taped similar ads for other Democratic candidates, including one in Maryland and one in Wisconsin. The ads bear witness to the actor's unmistakable decline from Parkinson's, which the actor has suffered from for a long time, and harnesses that physical degeneration into a political message. Now, here is Rush's comments about that. Rush says that he's just acting, and he says he's just moving all around and shaking, and it's purely an act. Limbaugh said that Michael Fox could, quote, control himself enough to stay in the frame of the picture and to, quote, keep his eyes right on the teleprompter, but his head and shoulders are moving all over the place. He is acting, Rush said, like his disease is deteriorating because one of those candidates opposes research that would help him get cured. This is really shameless of Michael J. Fox, said Rush Limbaugh, who himself, I think, is really shameless to say this. Either he didn't take his medication or he's acting. What are your thoughts about this? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. This is Rush talking. What a pig he has become, really. I mean, this is so horrible. Why does he, you know, this is what you call playing to your base. This is what you call, you love that $34 million a year that you rake in or more or whatever he's raking in now. And you want to keep that money coming because you got a lot of ex-wives and, you know, you got a big OxyContin Jones and you're taking 30 tablets a day or a minute. And to the extent that you've lost your own hearing, not to mention losing your own moral bearings in case you ever had any to begin with. And you know what your audience wants to hear and boy, you're going to give it to them. And the laws of karma are such, you wonder. If the stem cell research that the Republicans are so opposed to might not be something that's going to help people like Rush or anybody else as everybody, you know, ambles a little closer to the checkout line, you never know when you're going to need the good results that stem cell research can bring to you in order to help your own health. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What are your thoughts about Rush? El Porco Grande. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to The Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
First of all, Enid, I just want to say, how dare anyone make fun of one of the greatest actors? I am a huge Michael J. Fox fan.
He is wonderful.
Yes.
And you know, we've had his brother-in-law on, Michael Pollan, who writes those wonderful books, is his brother-in-law, married to his sister, Tracy Pollan.
Yep. Wow. Well, you know what? Alex is what I refer to him as because that was one of the greatest shows on TV that will ever be. Anyway, after that, it just angers me, and I don't really have that much traffic to talk about. Most tonight, 55, 81 for the high tomorrow. We're at 79 at AM 1320. Enid Live will be back at Sacramento's Left Channel.
I'm just going to say right now what we're not saying.
She's not right.
And let the chips fall.
But she's never wrong.
Let the chips fall. Let the chips fall where they may.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
This is an AM 1320 Left Channel action calendar. The film Sir, No Sir is the untold story of the GI movement to end the war in Vietnam. This award-winning film by David Zeiger will be shown on Wednesday, October 25th at 7 p.m. at the Coloma Community Center Auditorium, 4623 T Street in Sacramento. The movie explores the anti-war efforts not on the nation's college campuses, but in barracks and on aircraft carriers. It flourished in Army stockades and Navy brigs. It penetrated military colleges like West Point and spread throughout the battlefields of Vietnam. Yet today, few people know about the GI movement against the war. That's Wednesday, October 25th at 7 p.m. at the Coloma Community Center, Sir, No Sir. An admission of $5 to $10 is requested, with all proceeds supporting ongoing efforts to create local progressive media productions, including the Media Edge series on Local Access TV. More information is on the events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
Cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... new rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
The color pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320LoveChannel.com.
It's good for the environment. No air pollution. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, Monday through Friday on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. All right, if you're... I shared with you this story. Rush Limbaugh, that horrible pig, called actor Michael J. Fox, whose sister-in-law, as you heard in the break when we were talking to Lisa, whose brother-in-law actually has been a guest on this program, Michael Pollan, the author, the Botany of Desire is one of his books, and now I'm going to forget the second one, the newer one. But in any event, Michael Pollan is the brother of Tracy Pollan, who is married to Michael J. Fox. Anyway, Rush Limbaugh says that Fox is shameless, that he's acting when he's doing these commercials on behalf of Democratic candidates who support stem cell research. Michael J. Fox suffers from Parkinson's. And Rush Limbaugh says he's faking or else he didn't take his medication. He goes on to diss Michael Fox. I mean, Rush, who is handicapped by his jonesing for drugs like OxyContin, who is he to talk? And let me share this with you. As some of you may know, I am perhaps the last person on the planet who does not have, nor do I want, unless forced, to have a cell phone. I don't. If you're going to call me and tell me that I won the lotto or some great windfall, maybe. But otherwise, you know what? You can wait till I get home and I'll return your call. But in any event, I don't have a cell phone. And one of the reasons I don't have a cell phone is I don't want to be on an electronic tether. But the more important reason I don't have a cell phone, and the one that no one ever talks about, is that cell phones emit low-level radiation. And the jury is still out on the research, the health effects of cell phones. And you also don't want to be near cell phone towers because the jury's still out on that. But definitely cell phones. Now, here's something from the Daily Mail, which is an English newspaper. They're doing research on it in Europe more than they are in this country, I think. And here is what has emerged. Men who use mobile phones could face an increased risk of infertility. A new study shows a worrying link between poor sperm. See, now that is what Rush Limbaugh is the product of. Rush Limbaugh is an ambulatory example of poor sperm, both in his manifestation and both what he may also manufacture in case he does. So if you want to get back at Rush Limbaugh, send him all these cell phones, which will reduce his fertility. It will increase his infertility, but as far as I know, he's never fathered any children, so there may be no fertility there at all. Certainly the brain cells are not firing on all cylinders, but in any event, a new study showing a worrying link between poor sperm and the number of hours a day a man uses his mobile phone. Those who made calls on a mobile phone, on a cell phone, for more than 4 hours a day had the worst sperm counts and the poorest quality sperm. You do not want to mate up with those guys of bad quality sperm. You're going to have a turtle if you get with those guys. According to results released at the American Society for Reproductive Medicine, and this is at the annual meeting in New Orleans, undoubtedly, Dickie is a result of the poor sperm club. And his two daughters,
Those two little tarts. It keeps getting transmitted. The lines are full. They will open up. When they do, I will give out the numbers. Susan in Marysville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Enid. How are you today?
I am very well, thank you.
I'm just loaded with comments about this Rush Limbaugh thing, but maybe we can chalk it up to the fact that he's on such oxycodone quantities that he hasn't had a bowel movement in years.
Is that what it does? It constipates you? Constipates his brains as well as his bowels? And, you know, in his case, I don't know if we can tell the difference between his brains and his bowels.
Well, when you get that far gone, you really can't tell anymore. You know, people with Parkinson's, the greatest common risk factor is age. Michael J. Fox is a unique person in that he had early onset Parkinson's. And he has the unfortunate lifestyle of having to work with very few meds that are available, and he has to purposely go on and off his medication so that it continues to work.
So that's the deal with Parkinson's. In other words, they have to find a combination that will do the job?
Absolutely, and that's why he's lobbying as heavily as he is, because he knows that there is no cure and there are limited resources, and if there is ever going to be a cure, people like him have to act.
So if there ever is going to be a cure, what you're saying, Susan, it's going to have to come from stem cell research?
Well, one of multiple avenues. I think that we should explore any and all options, because this is a hugely, hugely growing disease. It's very common in rural areas, people that grew up on well water, people exposed to pesticides, people in the aging population, which, as we all know, we're living longer, so we're going to be affected.
Well, if we're lucky, we will be aging.
We hope to age, but we hope to do it sans Parkinson, and Huntington's and multiple sclerosis, which are all progressive neurological diseases that are being researched right now. I work with people with Parkinson. I have a parent with MS, and I've worked with people with Huntington's. This is a very, very challenging time we're in, and shame on Rush Limbaugh for using his hot air-filled lungs to even go there.
Susan, hear, hear, and I thank you very much for your comments. 349-1320-866-620-613-20. Heather in Williams. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Heather.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Oh, my goodness, we are driving home, and I am just shaking. I was so livid about those comments. I can't even believe he would say something like that. It's ridiculous. What a hypocrite. I can't even believe. You know, I commend Michael J. Fox for going out there with all the challenges he faces, and then to have someone as despicable as Rush Limbaugh say something so demeaning. It just kills me.
I know. Isn't that a lot? And also, if you're an actor, the kiss of death in Hollywood, and of course the news is out that Michael J. Fox has Parkinson's, but the kiss of death in Hollywood is illness. You don't want to be seen that way. And also, when you're making films, there are completion bonds that are part of the filmmaking process. In other words, they have to get insurance that the production will be completed. And if people have health problems, they aren't insurable, for the filming. So Michael J. Fox, an actor. We all know now that he has Parkinson's,
mm-hmm.
But to display himself in his condition in order to help a cause can't really be an easy thing, I wouldn't think. To show what you're having to go through in so
exactly.
public a way,
and to put himself in front of the public view, just to do something good, And I'm so mad, I'm shaking. I picked up my phone immediately and had to call in. And the last caller just hit it right on the nose. This is something that we need to try to get as much going in the public as possible so people are aware. And for that man to even have the gall to say something, I'm just floored.
But he said that Michael J. Fox must have been off his meds. Well, I think Rush was on his junkie OxyContin.
I completely agree. I completely agree. And we just love your show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Heather. I appreciate hearing from you. 349-1320, Richard in North Islands. Are you live with Enid? Hi, Richard.
Yeah, Franken was talking about it this morning,
uh-huh.
and it was very good. Anyway, I drive a cab, right? And I had one of my regular customers in the car, and we were listening to that as we rolled along. And this lady, very, very proper, very nice senior lady, I can't repeat it on the air, but my jaw just dropped. And I said, yeah, that would be Rush. And
Richard, I got to ask you, in your taxi, in your cab, why you got Rush Limbaugh on the radio? You control the radio. Why don't you have AM 1320?
No, I had Franken on.
Franken was talking about it.
He was talking about it, and he played Fox's the audio of the Fox ad, and then he played Fat Boy's response.
Yeah,
and that's when this lady had her outburst, and I propagandize everybody with Air America.
Well, we are delighted as their captive audience in your cab that you're doing it. I thank you, Richard, for the call. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Just a gorgeous day. We're going to see lows tonight right around 55. Maybe some breeze, though. No precipitation for weeks, I'm thinking, or seeing anyway. Highs tomorrow, 81. We're at 79. Traffic eastbound 50 at Harbor Boulevard. That's in Woodland, but that is stopping traffic down, slowing things coming back from Sacramento. Southbound 99, just north of Elk Grove Boulevard, we have a three-car crash. Emergency vehicles are slowing. Fair Oaks Boulevard, just east of San Raymond. There we go. And eastbound I-80 just west of Antelope Scales. There we go. I'm going to spit that out. Traffic hazards there at both places, slowing things down. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The truth, according to Enid, will set you free.
Really?
Call her now at 349-1320.
Hello, hi. How are you?
This is Cindy Sheehan. George Bush, Dick Cheney, and others launched a war that took my son's life. Strong evidence suggests that in promoting the war, they lied to Congress and the American people, and that in conducting the war, they have targeted civilians, hospitals, and journalists, used illegal weapons, imprisoned without charge, tortured and spied on Americans without court approval. Ask your Congress member to begin impeachment proceedings against George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
The Internet. Thank you. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive, massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because he got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me. You and me is that about tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Now. 349-1320.
On the Tuesday, Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7. And why lucky? Because my grandmother always thought the Tuesdays were lucky. So why not? Not so lucky for El Porco Grande. And here, tell these compassionate conservatives. Here's a woman, a Republican. She is in a very tight race. This is in Wyoming. She is a Republican. One of her challengers is a Libertarian candidate who uses an electric wheelchair because he has MS. And I think he also uses oxygen. And he looks, if you look at the picture, he looks quite disabled. And she went over to him after the debate, this Republican woman in a tight race. She walked over to me and said, if you weren't sitting in that chair, I'd slap you across the face. She says, that she said, if you had said that to anyone else, they probably would have smacked you. Now, why would you go over and say that to somebody who's disabled? I mean, this woman is nuts. So now she's had to issue an apology. Conservative. Compassionate conservative. I guess that's their version of it. Brian in El Dorado Hills. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Brian.
Hey there, Enid. Hey, I just wanted to comment that the Rush Limbaugh Hall of Fame must be getting bigger and bigger. The best one prior to this is when he said that Donna McNabb was not a good quarterback.
Oh, that's right, when he was being really racist. So
and he got fired because he said that Donovan McNabb was only being promoted because he was black, not because he throws for 300 yards a game and gets his team to the Super Bowl. I mean,
and now Rush is saying that Michael J. Fox was faking and off his meds, and that's why he was in doing these commercials on behalf of Democratic candidates who support stem cell research, that he was just faking and he was just acting.
You know, I mean, if I were to fake something, it wouldn't be having MS or Parkinson's.
Right.
I mean, it's just one absurd, line after another from him.
Well, he was probably high on drugs when he said it.
illegal drugs.
illegally obtained drugs, or maybe, as one of you said, one of the byproducts of the drugs that Rush used to get high on is constipation. Not only of the bowels, apparently. I thank you for the call, Brian. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. William in Auburn. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, William.
Hi, Enid. Well, I stand up with Michael J. Fox. I mean, he's got a lot of courage to go before people and show his condition. I have a son with muscular dystrophy.
Yes.
And he has a death sentence over his head.
How old is your son?
He's 20. If we're lucky, we may get another 10 years with him.
Oh.
And our only hope is research. And I can see where Michael J. Fox is coming from. That's his only hope to survive and function normally. And these idiots like Rush Limbaugh, Lunkhead, or whatever you want to call him, is a jerk, and he doesn't have anybody. He needs somebody in his family with a death sentence over the head, and he'd probably change his mind.
Well, first of all, I think what he had to say was cruel.
I agree with you there.
And I don't know how you can be. I think you have to really.
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
Make no mistake about it. We are in a tough fight here in the center of the country in an Anbar province.
General George Casey, the U.S. commander in Iraq, says he might need more troops, but he also told a Baghdad news conference today that Iraqi security forces should be able to function on their own in 12 to 18 months. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick has more.
For Iraqi troops to take over operations in a year or so, the Iraqi government will have to lay the groundwork by coming up with a plan for dividing oil revenues so that Sunnis aren't left out. General Casey says another crucial issue is getting rid of militias.
What has to happen here, as we in the Iraqi government address the militias, is that the Iraqi security forces emerge from this struggle as the dominant security forces in Iraq.
But that won't be easy because many Iraqis support militias, believing coalition forces won't protect them and Iraqi security forces can't. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Baghdad.
The U.S. military confirmed the deaths of four more troops today, bringing the death toll so far this month to 91. Security breach again at Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico. CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson reports local police stumbled on classified material from the lab when they staged a drug raid at a home in the area.
Our sources aren't able to tell us what kind of classified materials were discovered in the home. We only know that these materials are not supposed to leave the ground of Los Alamos National Laboratory if they're not under guard and with authorized people. These are classified materials found inside the home of somebody who is apparently running a methamphetamine lab. The security implications are pretty big.
The home is believed to belong to a contractor who does maintenance at the lab. The FBI is investigating. A big day at the House Ethics Committee's investigation of the Mark Foley scandal. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
Photographers and reporters scattered as House Speaker Dennis Hastert marched into the Ethics Committee hearing room. He undoubtedly was asked when he found out about the seductive emails Mark Foley had been sending to male pages. One of his Republican colleagues, Thomas Reynolds of New York, says he warned Hastert in the spring about Foley. Hastert has said he doesn't remember it that way.
Coming out, Hastert would only say he answered questions to the best of his ability. Some reassurance for parents who might have reservations about taking their young children for flu shots. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
A year after the government first recommended the flu vaccine for kids 6 to 23 months old, nearly half had received it. With a large database to study, Denver pediatrician Simon Hambidge and other Kaiser Permanente researchers set out to find whether the vaccinations triggered more trips to the doctor. The result?
We're talking very low numbers, so overall extremely reassuring.
So as the flu season winds up, this study in the Journal of the American Medical Association tells parents, calm down, the flu vaccine is safe. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Dow up another 11 points today. This is CBS News.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
What tobacco issues are important to you?
The health effects. That's what concerns me.
Last night, Brian went to PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
There's a lot of information there, but for me it all came down to this. There is no safe cigarette.
Cigarette smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, and emphysema. If you'd like more information on the health effects of smoking, as well as links for smokers who've decided to quit, find out more. Visit PhilipMorrisUSA.com.
Los Angeles Metropolitan Medical Center is under criminal investigation, and KNX Radio's Diane Thompson reports some of the key evidence is on videotape.
L.A. police say this is the break they needed to prove that hospitals and other police departments are dumping homeless people on Skid Row. Over the weekend, police videotaped ambulance drivers from L.A. Metropolitan Hospital dropping off patients in front of a homeless center right in the heart of Skid Row. It happened not once, but five times. One 60-year-old patient told police that he asked to be taken to a Pasadena convalescent home. Instead, the ambulance driver dropped him off on Skid Row. Hospital CEO John Fenton is denying the hospital dumped patients. Diane Thompson, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Two brothers from Sunnyvale, California face federal assault charges in the alleged beating of a 61-year-old man on a golf course. Authorities say Edwin Lee complained to the younger men that they were too slow. He wanted to play through. But after he passed them, they attacked, leaving him badly beaten. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
I am here. I'm like the weather. You just tune in from 3 to 7, and here we are. And I hope you're telling 3 to 5 people every single day that we are here, because a lot of people still don't know that we are, and we are. So you can start your day with Scott and Sims in the morning, 5:30 to 9, the morning retort, and then you listen to all the Air America, Al Franken and Randy and everybody. And then you come to me 3 to 7 as you're going home, and you've been incarcerated all day long, and you want to know what's been going on. Well, Bunky, well, Pookie, I'm going to tell you what's been going on. What's been going on is that there was a wonderful Washington Post story on Charlie Brown suggesting that he is really giving Doolittle a run for his money. So in spite of those polls that were not so perky yesterday, things are looking good for Charlie, we hope. But it is also being reported in the Sacramento Bee today that the GOP is opening up his pockets, a pocketbook pretty wide, and dumping a lot of money into the Doolittle campaign. So they're worried. And Charlie doesn't have anywhere near the resources that Doolittle does. First of all, Doolittle's been, you know, pimping for money for so many decades as it is. And, of course, the missus takes in about the ball and the chain takes in about, oh, isn't it horrible? It's so unfeminist. The missus takes in around 15% of everything that the Doolittle brings in terms of campaign contributions, and so the GOP is stepping up to the plate to help Doolittle. Those of you who have only been thinking about it, you've got to step up to the plate to help Charlie. Even if you already have, do some more. Write another check. If you got a little bit of spare change, send it over. Whatever, you know, if you got another couple of bucks that you can add to Charlie's campaign, it will go to the right place. It will do the right thing. So you can do that. CharlieBrownForCongress.org. Tomorrow, Jerry McNerney, also a tough race with Richard Pombo. Looks like he's edged slightly ahead, at least according to the internal polling. But really, I think it's probably a statistical dead heat. He's going to be joining us in the 4 o'clock hour. Pombo is refusing interview requests, interestingly enough, kind of like Doolittle. Why would that be, do you think? And on Thursday, Tess Gerritsen, blockbuster author, also an MD, she's a physician in her other life, is here on behalf of the Sacramento Bee Book Club. Her new book, The Mephisto Club, it is sort of a study in evil. So she's with us in the studio. You've just missed Simon Winchester, who is completely delightful. You ought to go to Barnes & Noble. We love independent bookstores, but he's going to be at Barnes & Noble tonight at Roseville Gallery, and you ought to show up there at about 7 o'clock, and you'll have a wonderful evening. Won't cost you a dime, unless you decide to buy his book or some other books or magazines, which are always so seductive in bookstores. I could spend my life in bookstores and libraries. And on Friday, Deborah Bowen running for Secretary of State. We want Deborah because Deborah is interested in cleaning up the e-voting situation and really looking into it and really solving that problem or not allowing it if they don't work properly. So Deborah Bowen, in a very tight race, some of the polling I saw, I think Materin Ross reporting that she's ahead by a couple of points, but that race with Bruce McPherson, too close to call. Here is a new poll out that control of the chambers, the Senate is within Democrats' grasp, but there is also information out that the Republicans are narrowly going to hold on to both the House and the Senate. So I don't know which version, whether, you know, one version you hear there's going to be a landslide for Democrats, and then the other version is that the Republicans are going to narrowly hold on to the House and the Senate. So I don't think anybody can rest on their laurels. We're also talking about Rush Limbaugh tearing into Michael J. Fox, calling him acting and faking and must be off his meds, because Michael J. Fox is doing commercials for Democratic candidates who support stem cell research, some of them in very tight races against Republicans who don't. And so Rush Limbaugh, El Porco Grande, you know, Dr. OxyContin, a drug, as some of you have pointed out, constipates you, so we don't know whether his brains or bowels are constipated or both. In any event, he is accusing Michael J. Fox of exaggerating the effects of his disease. And what have you called in with knowledge of Parkinson's to say that, then, you know, you have to adjust your meds for Parkinson's? Sometimes you have to be on them, sometimes you have to be off of them. In any event, Rush Limbaugh, who was so addicted to OxyContin, he went deaf, because apparently that is a side effect of as much OxyContin as he was taking. Bill Maher says like 30 pills a day or something. Some incredible number of pills. He is making fun of Michael J. Fox, trying to put him down in that bullying way that Rush has, just playing to his base. I wonder if he believes a fraction of what he has to say. 349-1320-866-620-613-20. Brandon in Lincoln. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
I was wondering if you forgot about me.
No, we thank you for being so patient.
Hey, I was wanting to talk about the Rush Limbaugh comment.
Yes.
I was hearing on your guys' radio station. Were you able to listen to him while he was talking about that?
No, I wasn't. I just saw the transcript afterward, and I saw the Washington Post version of the story. Why? Did you hear it?
Yeah, you know, I did hear it, and it seems I was flipping through the channels the other day, and I heard him talking about that, and at first I was like, oh, my Lord, what's he saying? But the way that everybody is saying what he said now is not actually how he said it, and that he first stated that he admired Michael J. Fox, he watched him, and that he had never seen him act like that before. Either he was off his medications, or he was acting.
Well, maybe he's gotten worse.
Well, no, he just said he had never noticed Michael J. Fox.
Well, what, is he Michael J. Fox's boyfriend, and he's with him 24/7?
No, he said he'd been watching him on Fox.
Yeah, well, you watch when you're an actor, and maybe he wasn't as advanced in the disease, but somebody called in to let us know, Brandon, that with Parkinson's, you have to keep adjusting those medications, and sometimes you have to be on them, and sometimes you have to be off of them. And it could be that Michael J. Fox's disease has degenerated further.
No, actually, what Michael J. Fox has stated on television, that while he is going before the Senate or whatever, when he was trying to pass, you know, the Parkinson's disease, go for it, start his own committee, that he would not take his medication. He would not take his medication, so people will see how bad that disease actually is. So that was actually stated by Michael J. Fox.
Well, I'm not aware of it, but for Rush to lay into Michael J. Fox, because Michael J. Fox has Parkinson's, is, I think, really beyond the pale. And here's what's being quoted, that he's exaggerating. He didn't say he's off his meds completely. He didn't say...
He said he is exaggerating.
He said he's exaggerating. In other words, he's faking. He's exaggerating the effects of the disease, Fat Boy said. And then he said...
I understand that that's what is being said now, but... I listened to it.
No, this is a direct quote from the Washington Post. So, Brandon, we love you dearly, but I'm telling you right now, if it's between your version of the quote and the Washington Post version of the quote, they're more the newspaper of record than you are.
But you're telling me that with something written down in a newspaper might not have things cut out of it? Where I listen
I'm
to
giving you, I am giving, are you defending that pork chop, addicted to OxyContin?
I'm just letting you know I listen to...
Are you defending Rush?
No, I am trying to...
Did you think Rush did the right thing by saying these horrible things about Michael J. Fox?
That's what I'm trying to let you know.
Well, I'm asking you.
He said that either Michael J. Fox was off his medication... Or he was acting.
This is a direct quote. He is exaggerating the effects of his disease. Limbaugh told listeners today, encouraging them to go online to watch Fox's commercial. He is, direct quote, he's moving all around and shaking. It's purely an act. End quote. This is from Rush.
Why was he moving around shaking?
What are you doing? You're defending Rush Limbaugh's reprehensible behavior, Brandon? You don't have it.
It's the reason why he was moving around.
I'm asking you a question.
He was off his medication.
No, this is not what Rush is saying. Rush is saying that he is moving around and shaking, and it's purely an act. This is what the Washington Post is reporting. The Washington Post is also reporting that Limbaugh told listeners that, quote, Fox is exaggerating the effects of the disease, end quote. Not that he's off his meds, but that he's exaggerating, that it is purely an act. So what's your beef with this, Brandon?
The only thing that I'm trying to let you know is there's a lot more than just what is being said right now.
So why do you want to defend that horrible Rush Limbaugh, that fat drug-addicted pig?
I'm not defending them. My God, I just thought I would call in and let you know I heard a little bit more than what everybody is reporting.
I'm sure there is more, but what I am quoting you is pretty bad. No matter if there's more flab around it, what I am reporting is pretty horrible and pretty reprehensible of Rush. So you want to defend that God, you know? Brandon.
Am I defending that? Did I say
yes,
that?
Yes. I think.
Am I letting you know?
I think that's the impression that we all have here. 349-1320-866-626-1320. You want to respond to that? I mean, here's a guy. These quotes that I read you are pretty bad. And there are even more quotes if I want, you know. Limbaugh said that Michael J. Fox could control himself enough to stay in the frame of the picture and to keep his eyes right on the teleprompter, but that his head and shoulders are moving all over the place. This is really shameless of Michael J. Fox, said Dr. OxyContin, Rush Limbaugh, a man so addicted and addled on drugs that he has allowed himself to go deaf. That is a byproduct of too much OxyContin, is that you lose your hearing. He has gone deaf. And you know what? He's also tone deaf, I have to tell you. He is acting like his disease is deteriorating, says El Porco Grande, because Jim Talent opposes research that would help him get cured. Jim Talent is one of the Democratic candidates one of the Republican candidates that Michael Fox is doing commercials on behalf of. You want to respond to this? 349-1320-866-626-1320. I think Rush just reveals himself to be, you know, he makes it up. He'll say whatever he has to say to placate his base, to play to his base, because the basis is bread and butter. 349-1320. The lines are full. When they open up, I'll give you the numbers again. Michelle in Rockland. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Enid. I didn't read the article, but I was listening to Tom Hartman this morning, and a guy called in. They were talking about this article, and a guy called in, and he sounded as if he had Parkinson's or somebody in his family had it, and he knows about it. And he said, this surprised me, and it surprised Tom Hartman, that the symptoms of Parkinson's are paralysis, and that shaking is caused by the medication. One of them, I remember, he called Cinnamon. And he said that the medication is what causes the shaking.
Oh, really? I thought that the shaking was a symptom of that disease.
Exactly. And that's what I think a lot of us think. And if the guy was correct, and, you know, I don't know about Parkinson's.
I don't either. But somebody else called. I don't know if you heard Susan's call.
No.
And she said, there are only limited ranges of drugs that you can take for Parkinson's, and you have to kind of keep tweaking the combination, and sometimes you have to be off of the medications, and then they keep altering the drug combinations to make it work for you.
I believe that's true, but it was a very interesting thing, and I'll bet there are some listeners out there that know about Parkinson's, and that it initially and over time causes more and more paralysis, so that without the medication, people can't even move.
Wow, Michelle.
So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I thank you very much for
Thanks.
The information. We have a line open now, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. If anybody is a healthcare provider, if you're a physician, if you know something about the medications involved with Parkinson's and some of the symptomology and so on, we'd love to hear from you. You could clarify a lot of this for us today. Wayne in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Wayne.
Hi. I was listening to Al Franken this morning, and he discussed the same thing. He even had a clip of Limbaugh saying what he did, and it was really derogatory. But they also got a report from a professor of neurology who indicated that if he doesn't take the medication, he is frozen. When he takes the medication, then he is motioning all over the place.
So he's shaking. In other words, that he is shaking means that he is actually on his medication. I think that was what Michelle was trying to convey to us.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so if you don't take anything, you're just frozen.
You can hardly talk, and you're in a kind of a frozen state.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much.
That was from a professor of neurology.
Thanks for that clarification, Wayne. I appreciate it. 349-1320. Rock in Carmichael. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Rock.
Hi, Enid. I think you were a little hard on that guy that you thought was defending Rush, because I think he was simply trying to clarify that Rush said two things that were equally despicable.
The yeah, but he said about 10 things that were despicable, but go ahead.
Well, the full quote was that he thought Rush said that Michael J. Fox was either on his medication or he was acting. I think both either is a despicable thing for Rush to say.
Wait, that quote was prefaced by this, however. This is what Rush said. This is the full quote. This quote, this is really shameless of Michael J. Fox, Rush said. Either he didn't take his medication or he's acting. So he characterized whatever Michael J. Fox was doing as, quote, shameless.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm just saying I felt that caller was trying to fit that in. I didn't feel he was trying to defend Rush Limbaugh at all.
What he was saying, my take on what Brandon was saying, was you pulled out a couple of quotes, but that isn't really what Rush said. Rush said all this other stuff around it. Well, it doesn't matter what else he said. He said some pretty shameless things himself.
Oh, I agree, and I hope this comes back to bite him. I hope he's got some listeners with Parkinson's disease that quit listening to him. Yeah, I hope. I would hope.
I was thinking with all this new information that using a lot of cell phones can make you infertile, make men infertile and make their sperm go bad, that we send Rush El Porco Grande a whole bunch of cell phones. But I'm sure that would be too good for him. I thank you for the call, Rock. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Steve in Grass Valley. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Steve.
Hey there. Hey, I happen to listen to the program too, and your previous caller was correct. Everybody's cutting out exactly in the context how Rush, he posed it as a question, and the reason he did that, in rhetorical stuff, Michael J. Fox in his book admitted that when he went before Congress, he got off his meds, and it was to accentuate the disease so they could see how terrible it was. So when he posed it as a question, it's all been taken out of context, and I don't really care one way or another. I listen to your show, I listen to a lot of shows all day long, and it's simple entertainment.
But he said, now I'm going to give you the quotes that I have here from the Washington.
Okay, but they're incorrect, Enid. The quotes that you have are complete, which makes them incorrect.
Wait. The quotes I have are from the Washington Post. And what did you say about the Washington?
They're incorrect, Enid. I'm going to tell you right now that they have left stuff out that takes out the context of the.
Well, they may have left stuff out, but what they put in is pretty horrible. Pretty reprehensible he's calling Michael J. Fox shameless. He said either he didn't take his meds or he's acting, that he's exaggerating the effects of the disease. How does Rush know that?
Not if you put it in context.
Well, I think it doesn't matter if it's in context. These sentences are damning, and they are reprehensible.
It does matter if you put it in context, because if you want to rearrange how somebody said something.
These are Rush's own words, Steve, that are being quoted, and I don't know what context can mitigate what Rush has said. He's already called Michael J. Fox shameless.
Well, then why not walk up to a stop sign and it just says walk and don't read the don't and see what happens when it's actually a red light?
Well, when you call someone shameless, where is the don't in that?
You know what? It's shameless because he got duped by the Democrats, because the simple fact is that states 30
How can you defend Rush's shameless putting down of Michael J. Fox for his Parkinson's disease? Rush is reprehensible for doing this. And I don't care how you want to tart up that pig and what kind of lipstick you want to put on that pig and a little bit of a ballerina skirt, it's a pig is still a pig. He's calling Michael J. Fox shameless. That's what he's saying.
You know what, and you're taking something that is incorrect and written incorrectly, so why don't you get your facts straight before you go on?
I am quoting a newspaper of record, which is the Washington Post, even. I've seen it in three or four places, and I think, of the two of you, if I'm looking for a ballast, I'll go to the Washington Post, I think, for a correct quote, rather than to Steve in Grass Valley, but I appreciate your valiant attempts to try to defend someone doing the indefensible. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What do you think about people calling in to say, here are the quotes, I'm assuming that the Washington Post has it correct, and here is Limbaugh saying that this is the only time I've ever seen Michael J. Fox portray any of the symptoms of the disease he has. Well, is he with Michael J. Fox 24/7? He can barely control himself. He says, this is really shameless of Michael J. Fox, Rush says. Either he didn't take his medication or he's acting. How would you know that? Is Rush now an MD? And what else does he say? He says he is exaggerating the effects of his disease. He's moving all around and shaking. It is purely an act. Rush knows it is purely an act. He's calling Michael J. Fox shameless. Let's see. One of these candidates apologized for a remark which was interpreted as a comparison between embryonic stem cell research and Nazi experimentation, undoubtedly made by a Republican. I mean, these people are amazing. This is compassionate conservatism? Where is the compassionate part of this? 349-1320-866-2613-20. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Slow traffic, I-5 at J Street and a little past that on southbound. We have southbound 99 a little slow, about 50 miles per hour. It's going at 625 here. And I-80 just past Madison Avenue. We have a three-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Enid Goldstein, a sign of intelligent life in the political universe. On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, I'm Dale.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. An Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, so folks into Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on an extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule.
Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
6:29 on the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on Yours until 7. Okay, since the audio of Rush dissing Michael Jackson in a particularly reprehensible way, and might be redolent even of Bill Frist trying to diagnose Terri Schiavo by video, except that Bill Frist is an actual surgeon, not that it mitigates what he did with Terri Schiavo, and Rush is just a junkie. But in any event, in case you didn't hear Rush and Michael Fox and Rush dissing Michael Fox, we have some audio for you, and here it is.
You need to see this. It's a spot running in St. Louis during World Series. It was bought and paid for and approved by the Democrats.
I think we're...
Now, I want you to listen to this. This is Michael J. Fox, aired during a World Series game, and I will describe you for you after you've heard it.
As you might know, I care deeply about stem cell research. In Missouri, you can elect Claire McCaskill, who shares my hope for cures. Unfortunately, Senator Jim Talent opposes expanding stem cell research. Senator Talent even wanted to criminalize the science that gives us a chance for hope. They say all politics is local, but it's not always the case. What you do in Missouri matters to millions of Americans. Americans like me.
I'm Claire McCaskill. Through this message.
Now, this is Michael J. Fox. He's got Parkinson's disease. And this, in this commercial, he is exaggerating the effects of the disease. He is moving all around and shaking, and it... J. Fox portray any of the symptoms of the disease he has. I know he's got it, and he's raising money for it, but when I've seen him in public, I've never seen him portray any of the symptoms. But this commercial, he's just all over, he can barely control himself. He can control himself enough to stay in the frame of the picture. And he can control himself enough to keep his eyes right on the lens, the teleprompter. But his head and shoulders are moving all over the place. And he is acting like his disease is deteriorating because Jim Talent opposes research that would help him, Michael J. Fox, get cured. Jim Talent does not oppose stem cell research. He opposes fetal stem cell research, but not adult. But this is reminiscent, and I don't have time. Yes, I do. Here, listen to John Edwards, a great girl on the campaign trail, October 11th.
Okay, and he goes on to say, Rush Limbaugh goes on to say, that this is really shameless of Michael J. Fox, according now to the Washington Post. But you heard it. And so instead of having somebody else's rendition, and then it was only part of it, thanks to our crack staff in the control room, Lisa and Lauren, we have this, and it was the audio was a bit jumpy, so there are little parts of it that fell out. But essentially you heard it. Now, is that less reprehensible? People calling in to defend Rush, that these comments were taken out of context. I think what Rush is doing is really strongly reprehensible. And those of you who are in the medical, you know, anybody who's a physician who can speak to Parkinson's and speak to the medications about Parkinson's, if you're a healthcare provider, you know something about it, or you are just have a lot of knowledge about it, that would be helpful as well. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Jackie in Cameron Park. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Enid. I want to just, for sake of argument, let's say that Michael J. Fox was acting in that spot, or he did go off his medication, so it looked more exaggerated. The point was he was trying to show people what Parkinson's looks like, and it was an accurate view of what Parkinson's looks like, because it's finding a cure is not about finding a cure for Michael J. Fox. It's about finding a cure for everyone with the disease. So even if Rush were right, what's the point? It's still a good message.
It is a good message, and also this business, I think I've read, and those of you, again, who know more about these the research involved, they talk about, well, we use adult stem cells instead of fetal, but there are reasons why fetal stem cells are preferable. And that adult stem cells, some of the lines, you know, there were a limited number of lines have been contaminated. I mean, so I can't speak to the research aspect of it, but I think probably some of you listening could. Jackie, I thank you very much. Good points. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Ronnie in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Ronnie.
Hello, Enid. Enid, I've been a registered nurse for 20 years, and just I didn't hear the clip until you played it a while ago, and I almost broke down in tears because it was just so sad, the fact that Rush Limbaugh is not a health care provider. He doesn't have a degree in neurology. He's never been to school, even for being a certified nurse's aide. And for him to come on air and to comment on someone who has a disease that is not curable, Michael J. Fox is going to die a horrible death from this disease. And to have someone come on air and comment the way Rush did, that only says that big business is in everything that we have, especially healthcare. They're spending more money on cures that we've already found, such as headaches, the common cold. You see all these ads on the headaches, the common cold. Why? Because it makes money. Finding a cure for Parkinson's disease makes no money. And that's the reason why Russ can come on the air and everyone will accept his comments, because big business is behind them. People need to wake up and realize that health care in America has failed, and the rich are getting richer, and the nurses are seeing sicker and sicker and sicker patients because of the fact that no one is giving a damn about them. No one gives a damn about them. Michael J. Fox is in the world. No one cares. That's why ERs are closing, hospitals are closing, because everyone has their eyes closed but their ears on Rush Limbaugh, and they still be listening to their true doctor, their true nurses, their true health care provider that is actually yelling and screaming that we need help.
Ronnie, let me ask you a question. You said that Michael J. Fox or people with Parkinson's are going to die a horrible death. Elaborate on that, will you?
Yes, because of the fact that, one, you and I do not have to take medicine to stop pill rolling. Pill rolling is when your hands just constantly pill rolling.
What did you call it? I'm not following the term. What did you say?
It's called pill rolling. It's when your hand is constantly moved.
Spell it. Pure? P-U-R-E?
Pill rolling.
Oh, pill rolling.
Yes. There's another point where he has his protruding tongue. He hasn't got there yet, where your tongue is just constantly protruding out of your mouth. And then you have these other neurological problems, horrible neurological problems, where people like Nancy Reagan won't even bring her husband out in public because it's so bad, so awful to see a person in that condition. Why do you think Ronald Reagan disappeared for like 5 years?
He had Alzheimer's. Did he also have Parkinson's?
Alzheimer's is another disease in that same family of diseases that no one is even giving a damn about, no one's researching about. But if we even put as much as we put into Viagra,
yeah,
we can come up with at least some way people can live, people can have a job, people can perform. People like Michael J. Fox can continue to act without all these neurological problems. That's the reason why people need to stop supporting Rush, big business.
Well, what I think we need, I think what we need, and we wish we'd heard more of it from guys like Phil Angelides, is I think we need universal health care. But Ronnie, I thank you so much for calling, and thank you for your passion, for your good work, and for the insight into Parkinson's. I appreciate it. 349-1320, Judy in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Enid. I was calling in regards to that caller before who said you Democrats have fallen for whatever the exact words he used, but when did Michael Fox and his disease become a Democratic problem? What about humanity? How about we care about other people? We want to see them healthy. And Ronnie, you just talked about health care. It is a crime in this country, health care. And he brought up Viagra. Well, I guess if we were talking about Viagra and supplementing it, Rush Limbaugh would be thrilled.
Well, his two favorite drugs, Viagra and OxyContin.
Yeah.
Exactly right. one is standing up and one is laying down, I guess.
Yeah. And one is fun and one isn't. It's a horrible way to die.
Yeah. Judy, thank you so much. I appreciate your call. 349-1320, Elizabeth in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, hi. This is Elizabeth Scholes. My father had Parkinson's. Became obvious during World War II. He had it longer than I am old. He just died 3 years ago. And I did not see the ad with Michael J. Fox, but the description that Rush gives is precisely how my father was. And Rush is right in a sense. It's probably not the disease that's manifesting itself, but as your previous caller said, it's partly the effects of the current crop of medications. The hope that is held out in stem cell research is incredible for people such as my father, who is now gone and can't take advantage of it, because the side effects from the medications are so horrendous. And what happens to you at the end of life is that you lose your ability to swallow. And so basically you starve to death, or you choke to death, one or the other. And it's not a pretty disease by any means at all. My dad fought for 60 years. We were so lucky that he lived that long.
How old was he, Elizabeth, when he died?
Pardon?
How old was he when he died?
89.
He made it to 89 with Parkinson's?
He made it to 89 with Parkinson's.
Wow.
Because he fought every day of his life to the last 3 years by exercising and just sheer guts and will that he was going to be a reasonably upright and productive person, that he suffered every day of his life for those 60 years because there were so many things that he could not do.
When they can't swallow, do they insert a tube or do something so that people can get nutrition?
He refused that. He said if he got to be as old as he got, he did not want to be intubated. It can happen, but it becomes then an issue like Terry Schiavo. Is that how you live? Is that how you die? And that's an individual decision everyone has to make. But the net result is that what it costs you is your ability to speak. I mean, people thought my father was completely brain dead, when in fact his mind was just as sharp as a tack, but he couldn't talk. And it was extremely hard because he was a bright, capable person trapped in this immobile body. And Michael Fox is fighting just like my father fought to maintain some semblance of normality, which is why Rush can say that he looks fine most of the time. That is sheer willpower. And what he saw in the ad is what happens when you let down a little bit, is that you have the pill rolling, the what they call dyskinesia. It's a kind of weaving around, an inability to control your limbs, and that's an effect of the medication.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for sharing your story. I appreciate the information.
Thanks.
Thank you. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Slow tonight over there, southbound 99, right by Fruit Ridge Road and Elk Grove Boulevard. There's a three-car crash, so it's stopping things down a little bit over there. Hit and run, eastbound 14th and 46th, and we have a car that's on fire westbound 50 just west of 65th Street. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
It's talk radio for the left of it makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
What's your secret for success?
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now I have it all.
This woman is talking about her renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $100. $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th. At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
The color pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320 Love Channel.
From the metal to the pedal, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Are we talking rock and roll? I guess we are when we're talking about Michael J. Fox. Some history of the Parkinson's disease. It's been a disease known since ancient times, not documented until 1817 in an essay on the shaking palsy by the British physician James Parkinson. Tremor is one of the cardinal symptoms, rigidity, stiffness, bradykinesia, akinesia, slowness or absence of movement, postural instability, and so on. What we're talking about, Michael J. Fox, who's been diagnosed with Parkinson's, clearly it seems to have, it sounds like it's gotten worse. It sounds like it's gotten demonstrably worse. And he has done some commercials on behalf of Democratic candidates who are in tight races and are supporting stem cell research. Rush Limbaugh took off after Michael J. Fox, in I think a particularly shameless way, calling what Michael Fox was doing, that he was exaggerating the effects of the disease, that this is really shameless of Michael J. Fox. And if you were just listening to us, we had some of the Rush Limbaugh clip, audio clip of what he was accusing Michael J. Fox of. You know, I just think Rush is so full of hot air. I think Rush so sold out so long ago. He sold out what he had so long ago. I mean, there's no question he's talented, and there's certainly no question that he is a gifted broadcaster and a very successful one. But I just think that he, I don't know. I just think this is shameless of Rush. I think he's become such a pimp for success and for the Republicans and for money and for everything else. He'll just say whatever it takes to keep his audience thrilled with what he has to say. And I can't imagine if you were one of his audience members that you were thrilled with what he had to say, if you're a big supporter of Rush, but I guess maybe you're anti-stem cell research because, I don't know, for all the religious wrong reasons. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Chris in Dobbins. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Chris.
Yeah, I was going to call. I got a pathophysiology book that gives the symptoms of Parkinson's, but you've already done that.
Okay.
What I wanted to say is this is hallmark behavior of a protected bully. Attack the messenger and don't worry about the message.
He's always, you know, he's usually his pinata is liberals, libs this, libs that. But now he wants to beat up on a guy who wasn't too tall to begin with and is suffering from Parkinson's. And people calling in saying, you know what, it's not going to be a pretty death.
Oh,
and it's not a pretty disease.
Yeah, especially, you know, having it as young as he has. And, I've listened to Rush off and on since probably the mid-80s, and at first I thought he was just goofing off Dan Aykroyd's character on the newscast of Saturday Night Live. I never really took Rush that serious. I'm sorry, the world did.
Well, they love what he has to say, because the more hateful he is, the more he panders to his audience, which apparently revels in his hatefulness. I thank you, Chris, for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Adam, in Citrus Heights. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. Let me just preface the call by saying, generally, your show makes me yell at my radio, and I disagree with a lot that you have to say. However, on this issue, you're on the money. My grandfather died of Parkinson's, and I watched it tear him apart. And to give anybody that's trying to help a disease be cured a hard time for whatever reason is that's ridiculous.
I mean, you know, he could have just let it lay. Why beat up on Michael J. Fox? Michael J. Fox has been beat up by life quite enough.
I mean, Rush is so good about talking about himself, he should stick with that. It's what he's best at, and it doesn't hurt anybody when he's blabbing about himself.
Does he blab about his OxyContin, Jones? Does he blab about how much Viagra he's taking?
I stopped listening to him a long time ago because he doesn't talk about anything with any sort of meaning or authority. But, you know, on this issue, I got to agree with you. And you're presenting it in a fair and unbiased manner, and I applaud the way you're dealing with this whole situation.
Well, I thank you very much, Adam, and I'm glad that you called us. I'm glad that you're listening. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So here's Rush, and he is saying that Michael Jackson is being shameless. You know, I'll tell you what I think it means. I think maybe one of the I think what has gotten lost in this discussion is, why do you think Rush stooped to such a low level? Why do you think he stooped to pile on to Michael Jackson, who's already suffering the ravages of Parkinson? He's stooping. What did I say? Michael J. Who did I? Oh, Michael Jackson. I'm sorry. Michael J. Fox. How many times I wonder if I said Michael Jackson today? Michael J. Fox. I think what's gotten lost in the discussion is maybe the reason he's piling on is that the ads are really effective. And so that in this tight race, these tight races, these ads are driving it home. And because Rush is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Republican Party and the conservatives and so on, he's got to get up there and he's got to, you know, Michael J. Fox is fodder for Rush's political agenda. Do you think that might be part of it? I think so. I think that might be the most revealing part of this whole thing. 349-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. And we do have beautiful weather, actually. 53 for the low. Highs coming up tomorrow, 81 or 83. It could be even warmer than that. That's magnificent. Coming up traffic-wise, southbound 99, Elk Grove Boulevard. We still have that crash. Things are speeding up a little bit. Southbound I-5 by J Street. It looks like they cleaned that up as well. Manzanita Avenue at Cypress Avenue. We have a three-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
This is Al Franken, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. It's full frontal radio.
The Morning Retort. Scott and Sam.
Presidentially chosen war on Iran over the next 2 years while he's in office, but there's even a significant possibility that it will happen even in the remaining 2 weeks before the election. So that's why I'm pressing doing what no one has done so far.
Daniel Ellsberg is our guest. What kind of responses have you gotten to your article in Harper's?
It just went on the internet, harpers.org.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I am Peter Miguel.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to stackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's stackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, stackjobs.com is a click away. At stackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Blood on all my America.
myself, making the decisions that are right for me.
We're informed,
prepared, just in case.
We're starting a family, and we're so excited.
I'm using protection.
Definitely. Getting tested, too.
To be sure.
At Planned Parenthood, we are here for you.
With high-quality personal care.
At an affordable cost.
Take care of yourself.
For a wide range of health information and services, call 1-800-230-PLAN.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I forgot to share with you this part of the conversation. Vice President Dick Cheney said that he thinks Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton could win the presidency, but he said that Barack Obama might be viewed by voters as too inexperienced. Can I translate that sentence into real English for you? It means that Hillary doesn't have that much of a chance, but that they're scared to death of Barack Obama. That's what I think that sentence means. 349-1320-866-2613-20, talking about Russia's reprehensible comments about Michael J. Fox. Beverly in Sacramento, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Bev.
Hey, I've never listened to you before, but I've never heard as much name-calling as you did to Rush on the air ever before.
So you're defending Rush for his reprehensible comments about Michael J. Fox?
No, is that what I just said? I said you were calling someone else names, and you're saying that he made,
He's making.
Comments.
I'm making fun of Rush for being reprehensible. He's making fun of Michael, which he can change. He's making fun of Michael Jackson for having Parkinson's disease, which is a terminal sentence.
Oh, I know, but don't you think that perhaps? What about all your friends who are drug addicts? Do you talk to them about them like that?
Well, my friends don't have a microphone as powerful, I think, as Rush's, who are putting down somebody who has a terminal disease. So, Beverly, I assume that you are defending Rush, and what he's doing is fine. So let me ask you that.
I'm not talking about Rush.
You are talking about Rush. Let me ask you a question. Are you defending Rush's shameless behavior toward Michael J. Fox?
No.
Okay.
That's what you should have said, that Russia had shameful behavior using my...
Yeah, he is shameful.
You have to call him names.
Well...
Why do you have to call names?
Why not?
Say, Rush, you're a very low human being to...
Yeah, he's a... Well, isn't calling him a very low human being a name? That's not exactly a compliment, is it? So are we talking about degrees of names? The more creativity in our name?